aboard, you people. It is a Starship Rokan show with Anna DeVlantis up for another day.
Yes.
End of week of broadcast insolence.
Happy Friday, everyone. Boy, this has been a long week. Woo! Did your blood pressure come down at all, Ro?
Is it all really
kind of leveling out?
Are you
feeling okay?
No.
Doing okay?
No. I got to say, I had lunch with some friends today.
Uh-huh.
And they said to me, they were
worried.
No, they
did. They call for the lunch as a well-being kind of situation.
No, it was a scheduled lunch. We'd talk a little bit about business, a little bit about life, and all of a sudden, one of the four people at the table
said
to me, "Hey, what's up with that Jussie Smollett situation?"
Oh,
and
no.
I was like, "Oh no, no, don't even begin to bring that up." No. Oh God.
The event we went to last night, it took 10 minutes for somebody to ask Ro about Jussie Smollett.
Kevin, you didn't brief people? You're like his front man. You got to handle those things.
And we were sideswiped by it.
I just came out of nowhere. Well, nothing you can do about that.
That is absolutely true. Not even 10 minutes.
No, I mean,
I think the first person that we interacted with at the event.
We lived about 15 feet, and that's when it happened.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It
was 15 feet. So the first person we interacted with was like, "Hey, what about the Jussie Smollett situation?"
Did the security surround you at some point, or was it okay?
Did it go okay? Oh, God.
Because every day does bring new news. It is more and more infuriating. I don't think you're on an island on that part of it. It was
a room full of lawyers, too.
Oh.
We were at the USA Cares event that was hosted by the Vodoliak Law Group. And the minute that came up. I mean, literally, lawyers. Some of the lawyers were running to get under a table, though. I think that some of those were like, "Hey, I wasn't there. I don't know nothing about it." There was a lot. Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm telling you, it's just another thing that is serving to divide and serving to create wackiness in our fair
it
little
is.
Town and our fair little minds.
Mm-hmm. So. And his lawyers going out there just trying to explain what had happened was, I don't think that part of it's helping so much.
The fact that one of the explanations here as to why Jussie Smollett said that they were white guys who attacked him is the lawyer for Jussie Smollett pulled up a picture apparently from the Facebook pages of one of the two. Are they twins, those guys?
No, I don't think so. No, they're brothers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it picked up the Facebook picture of one of them who was dressed as a ghost or White Walker zombie.
He was Heath Ledger's character
The Joker from Batman.
So just one Halloween, he happened to dress up like the crazy Joker.
Right.
So there's a picture of that.
And then so the lawyer with a straight face said, "Well, he does have a propensity to be in whiteface." And I'm like, "Whiteface? Oh, hell no." My first
Nigerian
most immediate reaction. And then as soon as she said that, I'm like, "Are you kidding me?"
And it's from years ago, too, right? He was like a teenager or something at the time when he wore the...
It wasn't when the movie came out.
Yes. How many years ago was that?
A long time
ago. Heath Ledger was alive. I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah. It just...
So that means since I went as Darth Maul once upon a time, the Force may be strong with me.
That's exactly what it means.
Well, I think the Force is strong with you, Lauren. That's different. There's actually some substantiation to that.
Kevin?
Ro does not want to talk about Jussie Smollett.
Nerd alert. All right.
Nerd? I mean, she's smart and like.
How many people like Star Wars? I'm not.
I do. I totally love Star Wars. I am so.
Double nerd alert, Kev. Double nerd alert. Yep. Anyway.
One day we'll be as cool as you guys.
I hear Star Wars and I immediately go blank.
Really? You don't like Star Wars at all?
The guy that cries to what's it called with what's her name, Lady Gaga.
A Star is Born.
Yeah, that one.
Oh my God! How dare you
bring that up
how
on Friday?
How dare you? Right before we
good one, Lauren.
Actually, Kevin and I watched that on the flight back from Arizona on Sunday night, and we put the little iPad in between us, and we sipped on Chardonnay and we watched it. Oh yeah,
the flight attendant was like, "Are you guys okay?" Oh God! Oh no!
Oh, God. That's all it takes. This modern world. It's all it takes. Here's a Kleenex.
Oh, don't go in the garage.
Here's
don't go in the garage.
Sure,
please don't go in the garage. Don't close the door. Don't close that door.
Every time I watch it, I hope he doesn't go in the garage.
All right.
And the poor dog outside the garage.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Because the dog knew, man. The dog totally knew.
They know. Dogs do know.
At least the dog got the steak at the end.
Right. So it was a happy ending?
Right. The dog, you know, the dog gets over it pretty quickly.
No, dogs remember. That's not fair. Don't misrepresent the dog in this.
I'm just telling you, dog moves into another house, and the dog's like, and then you come over, like, you own the dog. I don't know if you've ever done this where, you had a dog, and then you ended up not with a dog, and then the dog's in a new house. It happens to me, every 10 years.
That doesn't happen
anymore. So you go in, and the dog's like, I don't even know who this guy is. Well, what do you mean you know who I am?
We're best friends.
I raised you from a puppy.
Lauren, just so you know, it isn't just the movie. It's also the Barbra Streisand concert where Ro broke down and cried. That happened too. If he wants to call you,
excuse me.
Again, just remember that.
Excuse me. Mr. Skilling is going to join in just a moment, and he'll explain why that happened. All right?
Okay.
I want everybody to just be chill.
Okay. Totally manly. I love it.
It was manly.
I think it's great. I do.
All right, I gotta go.
Men have emotions too. Okay.
Yeah, is it okay? Like you always complain that we don't have enough emotions,
right? And now I'm expressing it for once.
Yeah, like why don't you ever talk about things?
I started crying when A Star Is Born. The end. And I'm like, what is this? What's happening on my face? Are these tears? I have feelings too. Damn it! No. Oh God.
Yep. There it is again.
Are you happy in this modern world?
No. I'm going to have to run over some Kleenex to Kevin. I know.
I'll get over it.
Okay, Darth Maul. All right, hold on one second. We've got Mr. Skilling about to join us here in just a moment. Tell us about the weekend, because he did say big, thick snowflakes tomorrow.
No way.
Yeah.
God, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, wait till you hear.
All right.
Just stay right here. You should listen to this. It might impact. And let us not forget that the Archideck, this is the last weekend that you can go online and register to win a backyard makeover from Archideck of Chicagoland. They're going to get you a 12 by 16 foot rectangular deck made of TimberTech and a 3-piece cushion sectional with fire pit table from American Sale. And listen to this. Weber is going to give you the Weber Spirit 2 Series grill from Weber. It says here, from Weber.
It's a hell of a grill.
Yeah. So go to WGNradio.com, click on the contest page, and then you'll see the Get Decked Out for Summer promotion. Just follow the links and do the thing there. Just register, and then boom, boom, you could be the recipient of that thanks to our dear friends at Archideck of Chicagoland. How about that?
Awesome.
Okay. All right.
Truly awesome.
Let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Ro remembering another fallen police officer today.
Tuesday night, as soon as the polls close, turn to WGN-TV. Complete election coverage, all the results, reaction, along with expert analysis. Watch your vote count starting Tuesday night at 7 on WGN-TV.
Oh, come on!
This is great. Another great John Williams.
Tom Skilling. Tom, if you had to, you're walking into a multiplex.
Ro, just a second here. I'm trying to log in to go for that Weber grill and the deck.
I don't think you're eligible, Tom. Yeah, sorry.
You know what? Darn it, I was hoping for prop purposes to have a noisy keyboard.
WGNradio.com/contest.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
I don't think I'm eligible for that, though, am I?
No,
you're not. Thank you for the back plug, though. I really like it. All right, so now, here's the deal. If you walked into a multiplex, let's just say you're sitting around with the dogs, and I want to bring that up in just a moment.
Yes.
Because your roommate sent me the video of the dog that I can't believe. But hold
Naughty
on.
Naughty Maddie.
Naughty Maddie videos.
I can't wait to see this.
We'll explain that in just a few minutes. I can't play it. I was going to play it.
Is it postable?
No. Anyway, we'll get to it.
Hell no or no?
Maddie's tongue would violate some FCC regulations, I think.
Let me just start with this.
Yeah.
We'll start with this. We already started with it. So he was explaining yesterday that Sean puts together these videos of the dog. Adorable dog. What is that? It's a
little mixed breed that we got from
it's like
Annie
a little terrier.
Coleman.
Right.
She's so sweet.
Yeah, yes. She's got like
little
hair.
White coat.
Yes, white, and she's got with the black nose and black eyes. It's just adorable.
Floppy ears.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the dog. So the dog. what they've done there. I don't know how they did it, but they got the dog. They got the dog looking into the camera, and then the dog's mouth moves. Yep. You know, like it's talking.
Yep.
They had some sort of animation effect.
Eyebrows move.
Right. Ears. And then the dog tells you something in English. Now, the about how upset it is that it had to go out in the cold, or that it was, you know, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get the audio of this, mm-hmm. and I'm going to put it on the air, and we'll bleep out the stuff. The problem with that is mm-hmm. that it would have just been one straight bleep. The only and the only word that we could have used was butthole, and I'm not even sure we could have used that.
Oh, gosh. Well, that tells you.
And cold. The word cold.
And you
that's
know
the only other thing.
What's remarkable about that is that dog is so sweet, and if it could talk English, it would never use
never.
Language like that. Not
oh,
a,
language.
I know.
Language.
I know. I know.
Anyway.
But that's why it's funny.
That's
right?
That's exactly
oh,
right.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. It's hysterical, yeah. But it is. It's also incredibly disturbing all simultaneously.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you. So if you walked into a multiplex and you had a Star Wars 8, mm-hmm. the Sith has been lanced, or or A Star Is Born Again, mm-hmm. where would you go?
Wow. Well, I saw The Star Is Born.
Yeah.
Well,
did you cry?
You know, it didn't move me to that extent. I guess
no
I probably did.
You have no heart.
I guess
when the dog is standing there by the garage door.
That's true.
Gets me every time.
Oh, yes,
Tom.
You know
he's
what?
Asking you a trick question, just so you know, too. So make sure you know you just you understand that.
And you know what? The
it's
truth
a
is,
not
it's
a
been
well,
a couple
he's picking
which
sides.
I'm trying
he's
to
picking
figure out
sides,
which
and he needs
which
to know that
team Tom is on.
Well, you know what? Now that I think about it, I watched it 3 weeks ago. Yeah, I did. You
yeah.
know, I think
yeah.
I did.
Are you a Star Wars guy?
Yeah,
like
Star Wars, George Lucas.
Hey, don't try to
the genius of that man.
You know what you're trying to do? You're trying to lead the witness. What do you like Star Wars?
I do like Star Wars. I think I've seen enough Star Wars that, you know, if I don't see another one, that's
right
okay.
There's your answer.
Well,
right
how many
there.
More Star Wars
you know
are
what?
You going to see?
And who would think this? That
there's been three.
On this show,
yeah.
with two manly men like me and Kev,
No big deal.
Yeah. That he would be siding with the boys on this because we really love A Star Is Born.
I know.
And the girls are a gigantic Star Wars fan.
Was that your pick, Tom? I wasn't sure I heard that.
It sounds like you would take A Star Is Born.
Yeah, I probably, you know, given Star Wars yeah. and The Star Is Born, I think that's right. Yeah.
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 There you go. Now, then because Lauren
me.
Is new and mm-hmm. she's just starting to get to know us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She, then Anna, and because Anna is a poopster, like there has never been one before.
I'm a middle child, Tom. It's
oh,
part
yeah,
of what comes with the territory.
Yeah.
Anna
happens.
Is great.
Okay, I don't
Anna
ever do mean harm by it. There's never any malicious attempt,
no,
but sometimes it's
no.
kind of
you want
fun.
Chaos.
Sometimes
that's what you want.
It's kind of fun.
You want chaos.
It's a little fun. I chaos.
So she caused some chaos by bringing up, just unsolicited, well, you at least didn't go to a Barbra Streisand concert and cry to Lauren like Ro did. And we
I
both,
know.
Now, Tom and I were at that same show.
And we were.
Separate seats.
Yep.
But we were, but. It, we,
very
but,
moved.
But we talked about it afterwards, and we're like, we both cried during the Marvin Hamlish tribute.
The
Sorry.
Same piece,
oh,
same
yeah.
part of the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. Everybody
I
cried.
I know.
Mm-hmm.
That was really sad. And Marvin left us way, way too early.
Right, and she was singing this. She was singing this.
I know. Hey.
Yeah.
Wait, let's listen.
Go ahead.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Should I talk over
you
this?
You can talk
or?
Over this. Oh, I'm sure it's the intro.
Okay.
You're Tom Scully. You do whatever you want.
I see. You know what? When she sings that that song, If I Never Loved You, have you heard that one?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
To Brolin, right?
Yeah,
her husband.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I mean,
sweet.
That is just...
Hold on, she's going to sing here. Hold on.
Okay.
Now.
You know, I'm sorry. That voice is like a gift
from God.
From
it
God.
Is.
From
it
really
God.
Is.
Angel.
Yeah. You know, and I've come to Barbra late in life, but I'll tell you, that is like, she is amazing. I'm
yeah, like
sorry.
As a kid. I get
a
I mean,
little girl from, what, Brooklyn,
yes,
right?
Yes, she'll tell you all about it.
Oh, to grow up and be able to sing like that is just,
it's
like
gift.
Amazing.
And yes. That's when Hollywood is trying to get her to fix her nose.
Uh-huh.
You know, when she became a film star.
Right.
And she was like, if I do, I may not be able to hit that same note.
Oh, that was an important thing to recognize.
Yeah.
And that was a little bit of what Lady Gaga has described, too, that
yeah.
she sort of was
yeah.
criticized for her looks.
Right.
Well, they loved her sound, but they worried, but they didn't like her look.
That's why they were both in A Star Is Born.
That's exactly why.
if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm telling you something.
Star Wars is still better.
In our own way.
Yeah.
Star
yeah.
Wars is still better than Star Trek.
Oh,
it totally is.
Anna,
come on, guys.
I'm really surprised.
I mean, it is. It's so true.
She's right. She's right. And Lauren, back me up on
and
this.
Lauren, have you seen A Star Is Born?
No.
It's a tear-trap.
Well, there.
She didn't even care enough to see it.
You know how many times I've seen every single Star Wars? A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the past three Halloween costumes I've done have been a Star Wars character. See?
Wow. Who have you dressed up as?
Not Chewbacca, I'm going to guess.
As I mentioned, Darth Maul did my own makeup. I bought the little boy outfit for a stormtrooper. and then the other one was just kind of any kind of Sith.
Any kind of Sith.
I don't even know what a Sith
is.
What is Sith? I'm sorry.
Yeah, the bad guys.
That's the bad guys.
No, it's very interesting how she goes as the bad guy. Is it for Halloween, so you want to be scary, right? The whole idea is it's scary. Well, like Darth Maul and all that.
Cooler looking.
Yeah, Darth Vader. Yeah.
Yeah, and Darth Maul, I can't get over him being in Girls. That was the only, I didn't know what to do with that.
That is a role reversal, isn't it?
Really? Yeah.
I mean, you know.
That guy's a really good actor, but I didn't see that when he was in Girls. I'm like, I'm watching that show.
No, he's talking about on the show that the guys are interested in the Barbara and Star Is Born.
No. I'm talking about the TV show Girls, right? Where that actor, what's his name?
No, what Tom is saying, that's a role reversal.
It is. In terms of selection of our favorite movie, that's what I was saying.
Yes, I understand. Yeah. Now I'm just totally confused everything. I still don't understand. Adam Driver. I saw him in that TV show. I'm like, this guy's never going to be a big star. This, oh, he's in the new Star Wars. I'm like, no, he's not. Yeah. And obviously he was. And then he was in a Black Klansman. He was great in that.
Oh,
and I'm like,
was.
Now I got to like that guy. All right.
Well, you know what, Ro? You blew that. When I first heard the Rolling Stones, I thought, well, this will be a flash in the pan. It shows what I know, you know? And look at, they're still around.
The Rolling Stones, who the hell are these?
I know.
With their long hair and their British accents. All right, Tom, very quickly, tomorrow it's going to snow. Is that true?
No, well, there may be some wet snowflakes mixed in. We've got rain. It should be raining by 10 o'clock tonight here in the city. It's coming in from Iowa right now. And it'll rain into the morning. Might be some mixed wet snow. But there'll be partial clearing in the afternoon, and Sunday will be beautiful. It's going to be a cool, windy weekend, but we see a couple of 60-degree or near 60 days, maybe toward Tuesday and Wednesday next week. So that's nice. If you look out 2 weeks, we see some 60s in the week beyond next.
All right.
We're making progress here, guys. That's good news.
We're getting there.
Yeah. That is good news.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Liking the way it's feeling today.
I'm very emotional right now, Tom.
I know. Hearing, memories.
Oh, God, no.
Da-da-da.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
All right, guys.
Thanks,
all right, happy Friday. See you, Anna.
Kim Gordon. He's got the WGN News brought to you by Townstone Financial.
I always say, they say the elite. They're the elite. I'm not. Well, I have a better education than them. I'm smarter than them. I went to the best schools. They didn't. Much more beautiful house, much more beautiful apartment, much more beautiful everything. And I'm president and they're not, right? And then they say, the elite!
Jealous much? What?
What? Bizarre.
That is weird. That's the president of the United States.
I'm smarter than they are. I went to better schools than they did.
A little bit later on, the drunk Trump presentation of last night's rally in Michigan. Wow. There were some moments. Michael Steele's joining us.
Mm-hmm.
That's our president there, Michael Steele. That's who that is right there.
It is. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's more Donald Trump than president, but we get the point.
Oh, my God. What has happened? Don't get me started.
Hey, look, Donald Trump is sitting in the Oval Office. That's about as, like, you know, me sitting in a, you know, on a throne. It really doesn't mean much. It's just a chair.
Yeah, well, except that he gets to make decisions. I like how he makes decisions, though, as soon as, like, how he screwed over one of his own secretaries yesterday, which means something totally different than it used to, when Betsy DeVos was up on Capitol Hill and she was defunding Special Olympics and then taking the bullet for it and everybody going, why are you defunding Special Olympics? And she's like, well, we can't fund everything. And she was doing the right thing. And then all of a sudden, an hour later, he goes, hey, we're going to fund Special Olympics. I'm overriding it. I can't believe how dumb that was. And you're like, hey, wait a second.
It's not what we heard.
He's a...
It's because the heat comes. Hey. The heat comes. And there's certain types of heat that he will bear. And there's other kind of heat that he doesn't. And, you know, I'm sure that at some point, you know, in their discussions in the cabinet, you know, they were weighing the pros and cons of this, and he didn't care. He didn't care. And typically when you see him flip-flop or something like that, it's because he didn't care about the issue in the first place. And then all of a sudden, it's brought to us, it is like, okay, whatever you guys want to do, I'm going to go golf. And then they do it, and it blows up, and he goes, what the hell did you guys do? I'm not doing that. And he flips and flops, and here we are.
I'll save the day kind of thing.
Yeah. Hey, can I ask you a big sociological question, Michael Steele?
Sure.
Okay. You know, one of the things that, you know, here in Chicago, we're dealing with the Jussie Smollett story, right?
Oh, boy, are you ever.
Yeah.
I thought of you.
I'll bet you did. Yeah. I think of you every time I see the president, and you, when you told me, don't worry, it's going to be just fine. Anyway, the one of the bigger questions, actually, Rahm Emanuel had mentioned this, because Jussie Smollett, one of the things he's been saying, obviously, is, hey, I didn't do this, and then the question is, what is the racial component to all this, and why do we have a moment? And you know what Rahm Emanuel said, which I thought was really, I love Rahm on the way out. I mean, he could just say exactly what's on his mind.
Yeah.
And this is 100% accurate, that what Jussie Smollett was trying to do was trying to take advantage of the racial divisions, the animus, the hatred, and the mistrust that is going on in this country between black people and white people and brown people and, you know, all the way up and down the line, right? That we're finding divisions where we always knew they were, but the fault lines are getting bigger. And Jussie Smollett attempted to take advantage of that for his own personal publicity and his own gain. And this, you know, and it's from the top down that it happens. And he was telling Trump to stay out of this because it's kind of Trump's fault that we live in this world right now. I don't think it's totally Trump's fault that we live in this world right now, but he's certainly not helping. Your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to throw a curveball here because I don't know what Jesse's motivations were, because they were never set forth at trial. The only words I've ever heard come out of his mouth is he didn't do it. I've not seen the evidence. The evidence has not been produced publicly nor tested publicly in a court, so we don't know how whatever the prosecution had, whatever the police had gathered, we don't know what that what the validity or the value of that was to the case. As we all know, the indictment by the grand jury means absolutely nothing, because a good prosecutor can have a jury indict a ham sandwich, as the saying goes. So there's a lot there. So, and the reason I say all that is because if there's no there in that kingdom, or rather put it this way, if there is a space in this kingdom where the evidence they have is legitimate, sound, and solid, then you don't cut the deal that they just cut.
Well, you might if there are other factors. I think that's what everyone's trying to look at here. What influenced this?
Those other factors clearly meant that the prosecution didn't have a case.
Well, actually, the prosecution came out. Hold on one second. Let me just clarify this for you. Now it's fascinating.
It is.
That Michael Steele, who is my brother, who is my friend, we agree on so many things, right, mm-hmm. in our lives.
Yep.
And right. I and because Michael and he's a brilliant guy, he doesn't live in Chicago, so he's seeing the national version of this.
That's right.
And in Chicago, the piece that you're missing is that the prosecutor who was handling this, who's the first assistant to the state's attorney of County of Cook,
right,
came out and said, oh, no, we believe he set this whole thing up. All the evidence that we have shows that. But they did not take it to trial. Because this is a standard diversion that they do for in Cook County now for nonviolent offenders.
But the Society of Attorneys General have come out to say it's not standard.
Right. And so then all the motivations ascribed to Jussie by the mayor and everyone else are wholly irrelevant. Because if the standard operating procedure of the Chicago DA's office is to cut this kind of deal, then what the hell are you beating him up for?
Well, because it isn't. Because it isn't.
Yeah, but why are you still trying to try him in the court of public opinion?
Because
you capitulated.
Because he dragged. Well, I didn't. She did. Because he dragged Chicago's reputation through the mud here, trying to make it.
We don't know that. How do we know that?
Well,
Michael, does it bother you that he knew the men and said they were white men wearing MAGA hats? Does that piece of it at all stand up as being something?
I mean, look,
strange.
Trust me, I'm not defending Jesse. I think he was boneheaded, idiot, stupid. I mean, but again, I don't know. We don't know the full story of what the relationship with these two men is. And you know, again, I just go to the point. If I got you up against the wall, and you are a celebrity, and if I feel so passionate that your actions have taken my city and dragged it in the mud and berated, you know, not berated, but, you know, used up city resources, mm-hmm. I'm going to make you pay for that. I'm going to take you behind the court and make you pay for it.
All right.
I'm not going to cut you a sweetheart deal while
right.
I get $10,000
out of it. I got to stop. Let me just stop you right here. I got to stop you right here. Here's the issue. The reason that you're saying all of that, it makes a ton of
yes,
sense
it does.
From 1,000 miles away. Here,
it makes a ton of sense no matter what is right. It should be done that way. He's right.
We're asking this question. Why? Why would this state's attorney do this when she said she recused herself, but she never really did, and then the office drops the charges, doesn't ask for an apology, doesn't make him take responsibility?
Seals the entire case, the whole record.
And expunges him in an hour. It has never
and that
happened
doesn't
before.
Happen.
Oh, my God. Did you do that just to get me to do that? I think you did.
Did you wind
I think
him
you
up?
You know why? Because he's a lawyer. This is the one problem.
See?
This is Michael Steele. He's just going back. He's deciding I'm going to be
playing with
as big a poopster as Anna DeVlantis is. That's what he's doing.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I did not warn you beforehand. Didn't I say, well, I'm going to be a little contrarian on this?
Oh, yes, I know you did. Still love you. I still love you. And I'll tell you, you know what? What we'll do.
I love you too. But I just think the situation stinks. And I think the prosecutor, not only did they mishandle this whole thing, but I think there's something that runs a little bit deeper than we know right now.
Mm-hmm. I would agree.
And maybe it comes out in the wash, maybe it doesn't, but I'm sorry. As much as they put in to catching these individuals, blowing up Jussie Smollett, tying him so much to the city and its reputation, et cetera, then to just drop the whole thing, take a $10,000 bond check, and call it a day, I just find that to be suspicious at best.
All right, I would also feel that way. Except I'm a Chicagoan and I know how this crap works. All right, thank you, Michael Steele.
All right, my friend.
We'll see. Have a good weekend. Bye. Oh my god. Hold on. See, that's the thing.
But it is interesting what you said, Ro, because there is a national.
Right.
Differentiation.
Totally.
When you watch national news, there's a lot of people coming to his, you know, they're saying he's right now. And it just sort of is weird. They're not looking at, there's something really wrong about how this was handled.
Right. So the city must not have had the right guy or the right thing. And when Jussie Smollett, I think it's tomorrow night or the NAACP Awards?
Saturday night, yeah, it's tomorrow night. He's already in L.A. TMZ showed him touching down, was not taking any questions. He's remaining totally silent on the issue that I can see. I haven't seen anything new. But he's there for the NAACP. He's not hiding from it. And he's nominated for an award.
Right. And if he wins the award and gets a standing ovation or walks in, gets it, whatever it happens to be, if he's feted in some sort of a way, then if you think my head has exploded before, you wait.
Watch out.
Yeah. Oh, my God! All right.
An image award.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. All right. I mean, you know what the thing is? The question is, was there some other thing. This is the story that's now developing.
Yes.
Was there something that either the prosecutors or the police did wrong in the process, and they don't want that to come out, so they're going to let the whole thing go. That's the rumor. And I think that rumor is, I would like to know if that's, if any of this is true. The other rumor is that these guys were that Jesse and the two guys were rehearsing this. I want it all to come out. I want the whole thing to come out. I want to know. If there was a mistake, I want to know about it. Because this should not have happened.
No.
Because it does appear, and on behalf of the 13,000 men and women of the Chicago Police Department, their honor needs to be restored here. And their dignity needs to be restored because they went above and beyond to find these guys and to work this whole thing out. It is as clear as the makeup on that guy's face that this whole thing was a hoax. The state's attorney's office still says it was a hoax. They call it a hoax.
But Kim Fox was dancing around that in some of the interviews.
But she's Kim Fox. She's the former Cook County state's attorney by next Friday, is my guess.
Yeah, I agree
with you. After Tony Preckwinkle loses by 40 points on Tuesday, I think there's going to be hell to pay because Tony will be weakened. And I think that Kim Fox is going to have to. And believe me, this is not the end of digging into Kim Fox and trying to figure out who would make a mistake. It's one of those things. You know, we don't have that much of a background on the people that we elected these kinds of offices because we don't think about them. And there's not that many votes. Right?
No, and not that many candidates.
Right.
So it's what happens. But this is a vetting process for sure, and it's eye-opening, and I still think there are so many questions. And you just mentioned one of them. Was there more to it in some kind of misconduct? Is there something more about the way prosecutors acted? Something that was going to come out in trial that we, defense attorney said, we'll bring it out, and it would have been embarrassing or wrong or misconduct? I don't know.
Right. Somebody said something or did something or was impolite to somebody? Fine. Bring it out. That is not enough to let Jesse Smollett off the hook for what he did.
And we need faith.
He sent a letter, and a totally separate incident, he sent a letter to himself threatening himself. Come on now!
And in a prior incident, he pretended to be his brother and signed in another police false statement in a different incident.
Oh, God! Kim, what's coming up?
The Mueller report will be in the hands of Congress by next month.
Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Coming up before we get to Susie Sunshine here. Coming up, we've got Mr. John Cass going to join us.
Nice.
On the other side about the election. It comes up on Tuesday. And what this whole Smollett, what is the play here? There's a lot of speculation that this very bizarre, inexplicable decision by the state's attorney's office.
Mm-hmm.
To not just drop the charges, but to basically do everything but formally that exonerates him, but yet still come out and say, well, but we still believe everything that was in there. I've never seen anything like it. None of us have ever seen anything like it.
It
worked for him because even Michael Steele, who's, you know, pretty law and order guy and understands the world, and because he lives in Washington, D.C., he's like, looks like the police department made a mistake here. No!
And everyone's leaning on, well, it's sealed, so we'll never know. Well, that's part of the problem here, is the lack of transparency over something that seems so baffling.
Oh, we're going to there's some unsealing here.
Should be. There'll
be some unsealing here.
Hope so.
Also, Justin Kaufman's going to join us, too, because he's got a special election night coverage.
Nice.
So, all right, here she is, Susie Sunshine, Susan Schmidt from Aviva Investors, and she reports into us today from Paris, France, because she travels the world counting money for everybody else's money. I don't even know how that works. All right, and I know we're pulling you out of some beautiful cafe on the Champs-Élysées, I'm sure, to do this. But
Indeed you are.
But can you explain, please, there are a number of different things that have happened here, and the one that baffles me the most today is that Larry Kudlow, who was a CNBC anchor... Oh, I liked your reaction to it.
I know where this is going.
Larry Kudlow has asked the Fed to drop the interest rates.
Right.
Can you do that?
Which is, no, No, he can't do that, and it's just ridiculous, the fact that he's even asking. So it's really interesting here, because remember that the Fed has been a very separate and independent organization throughout, and that is why all of this is so strange, because normally we do not have members of the administration directly communicating or telegraphing their message to members of the Fed as if the Fed is supposed to respond. The Fed is completely independent. They're meant to make their decisions independently of what the administration is doing. And so, you know, we've seen this with the president wanting to add Stephen Moore to the Federal Board of Governors. We've seen this now with Larry Kudlow. Both of these gentlemen have been very public in the press, acting as commentators around this administration, around the political parties. So the fact that we now have Larry Kudlow, who's part of the administration, adding on his voice here, it's just extremely unusual. We've never seen this before. The Fed will not bend. They are independent. They will continue to be independent. I think the members of the Fed, which includes, you know, when we think about it, the Chicago Fed, the Dallas Fed, the New York Fed, these are, you know, heads of the agencies that are meant to manage and oversee the economy for the United States, and they're meant to be there as a protective, transparent, independent factor. So it's very important that they do stay independent. And this messaging back and forth is actually just, I think, getting a little bit out of hand and more for grandstanding in politics than actual impact on the Fed.
We were talking last time you weighed in on Friday about the some recessionary fears, particularly overseas, were sort of impacting the market or weighing heavily on the market. And now things are up, and you do hear some prominent voices on Wall Street saying that they're not predicting. They say their growth may slow, but the recession word, even former Fed Chair Janet Yellen is saying she doesn't see that imminently or any in the short term. And I wonder what how you read what we're seeing right now. It seems that there are a lot of fears on one side, and then others are very optimistic.
There are, and it's important to remember, we did see a lot of fear in December, and that's when the market really took a turn down, and it was very concerning for people. And it was because of emotional concerns, not so much that the underlying data was concerning. And I think that's what you're hearing when Janet Yellen is talking now. She's referring to that underlying data as well. It doesn't look like it's dire. It actually looks like there's some good green shoots. The U.S. economy is doing well. We have been keeping an eye on what's happening internationally, whether it's in China or it's in Europe. And we're going to get numbers from China this weekend about their PMI. So that'll help and be a good indicator to what's going on with the Chinese growth. Remember that the Chinese government started stimulating their economy over a year ago. And so while we have that happening, that's very helpful to keep that economy going. The Chinese government doesn't want their economy to fall into a backswing here either. They want it to be steadily going up going forward. And so I think we're seeing that. And we're starting to see, as I'm here now in Europe, signs of stabilization in Europe. The European Bank is here to lend support. I think the attitude in the European markets is cautious and yet optimistic. People don't feel like things are turning negative yet. We're at that precipice point where people are so concerned that it's going to be bad, they're talking themselves into it.
Well, also in Europe, you know, more sort of battering winds here with Brexit, and mm-hmm. England doesn't exactly know what it's going to do. But that seems to be absorbed by the market. We did notice that the U.S., you know, the Dow was up almost it was 8/10 of a point today.
Wait, interestingly, with that Brexit news, and the third time it's gone to vote in Parliament, no resolution has come. They really have no idea what they're going to do. So interestingly with that, the U.S. market continues to basically ignore Brexit as an issue and just carry on.
Can I ask you, do you think what's really, could this also be happening, that people not sure where the money is going to be in Europe because of Brexit and fearing potential lack of stability there, they're dumping their money in the United States, which is upping the equity markets?
I don't think that's as much of the case as
damn,
it is
that
just
sounded
people
good.
It did sound good.
God,
I was like, wow.
That was very good, Ro. That was a good attempt. But I don't think that's the case this time around, because I think businesses depend on trade. Businesses depend on the consumer buying goods. And so I think what the investors in the U.S. are doing is listening to what companies are saying, hearing that the bottom line is that they are selling product and they're able to operate profitably. And that's really what's giving the optimism to the U.S. markets. And we haven't come to any sort of conclusion on Brexit. It's one of those things where there's a lot of noise. This isn't an issue that just came up last week. This has been going on for months, if not years now, since the initial referendum, and no progress has been made yet. So the U.S. markets have just decided, because they don't have any clarity on it, they're going to ignore it.
I do like the idea. That's how I handle my bills at home. I don't have any clarity.
I'm going to ignore that one.
I'm not 100% sure that I did this, so I can't. Now, who is this ComEd, and why do they keep calling me?
That's not right.
Who's gas?
What do you owe them money for?
People's gas? I'm not a people. All right.
When do we hear next from the Fed, Susan? And when is that?
Well, we have some time on that. So we don't hear from the Fed immediately, but we're going to get the minutes out next week. And I think what we'll be doing is, along the way, we're going to be hearing from the Fed governors. Where we have seen the Fed become more outspoken is the governors, the members of the Fed, not necessarily Jay Powell, but the other members of the Fed board, have come out, and they have been more vocal in recent years talking about their position and how they view interest rates and the economy. So be prepared, because I think this Larry Kudlow piling on to, this idea of dropping rates and what's going on, which, is great from the administration's point of view, but honestly, I think if it happened, the market would be very concerned that something, it would spark fears in the wrong direction,
right,
and for the wrong reason.
That politics are playing in. But this has been a dream, though, of American conservatives for the past 50 years, that they wanted the politicization of, and I don't mean that in a bad way, there has been a concern in strict conservative dogma for the better part of the 20th century, that as soon as the Fed was established, that the Fed was not responsible to anybody. So there was a concern that by having it decoupled from the mechanisms of government, it was a dangerous institution. And that has been a constant kind of battle cry for arch conservative economists for over 100 years. But where do you go, though?
Right, arch conservative economists wrote, but not for businessmen. Businessmen like the fact that the economy is being monitored by someone who doesn't have a political stake.
I get it. I'm not saying I agree with it. The point is that what this administration is doing, though, it's playing to those kinds of themes of old arguments that no one ever paid attention to. Sometimes politicians would run on them, but then they would ignore them as soon as they got into office because they knew they were bad policy. Well, this administration has decided that it doesn't matter if it's bad policy. Someone said it. We love it. And that's what where it's going.
They're going to run with it regardless. Well,
yes.
I do think we're going to hear more from the Fed governors who will push back on this.
I just want to know. Hold on.
Will fight to stay independent.
In the Fed minutes, will there be at least one Federal Reserve governor who goes, "Oh, Larry Kudlow, what an a-hole"? Will there be anybody can we actually read
I'm
that?
I'm sure that happens in the meeting, and no one will ever put it in writing.
Okay, just wondering.
That's
all right.
Too bad.
Susie Sunshine, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. I'll go back to my cafe now.
Have a chocolate croissant for me. They never taste the same here in America. They just don't.
Oh, they don't. I had one this morning before my meeting, and I have to say it was delicious.
Oh, I love it.
Next week, she comes to us from Beijing. I don't know. She's good.
Around the world tour.
Right. Every time, Jeff tells me that he goes, "All right, Susan will be on at 4 o'clock. She's in France." She's in Greece. She's in England. She's in somewhere. She's in Buenos Aires.
Well, we appreciate you checking in with us, even with those strange time zones and sleep schedules.
So it was my pleasure. Someone's got to check the worldwide economy. We have to be out here taking a look. So
there you go.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Susan
Schmidt.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
Aviva Investors. All right. She runs U.S. equity, head of U.S. equities for Aviva Investors. Mm-hmm. All right. Let us talk about now what's coming up on the program. Well, first of all, let's do this with Kim. Kim's going to tell us what's coming up with the news at the bottom of the hour.
Ro, the mayoral election is just days away, and the polls are getting busier.
Three. Mm. my friends. Coming up, Mr. John Cass is going to join us. You better keep that alarm. This is not helping. You know, my doctor called.
Your doctor, not the official physician to the Rokon Show.
No.
Head of Northwestern Medicine.
Yes. Not Jim Anderson.
You're not bothering
Northwestern Medicine.
Him yet.
Okay. No. Okay, no, my personal medical team, actually. It's not even a doctor.
I was going to say, you don't just have a doctor.
No.
That wouldn't do.
What's really funny is I have a team of people who are constantly passing me to the other person on the team. So I call, and then one doctor goes, "Oh, you know what? I got that thing. Could you call?" And then I just keep moving. And they each one says it.
They move you through the system.
They move me around. It's like a basketball team that's got a 20-point lead with 4 minutes left. They're just throwing the ball around.
I think that says something.
Yeah, it says everything you need to know. So the point I was trying to make is that as I have been trying to figure out how to manage the stress that this week has induced on me with the whole Jussie Smollett, Kim Fox thing, I've been calling it, should I adjust my medication? What should I do?
Fair question.
And I think it is a fair question. Mm-hmm. I mean, for God's sake. I literally, something could break up here or in there somewhere.
It's good to keep on top of that stuff for sure.
So they sent over that alarm. That's the thing they sent over. Then they were like, every time there's a monitor, every time I go through some sort of a roof, then that thing goes off. So that's how it goes. Oh. And that's supposed to calm me down. That's the only, I'm like a dog, where they ring a bell and the dog shows up somewhere.
I don't think that's how it goes. I think it's about drooling and a bell.
So whatever. But
you drool too, so that's okay.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I all I know is that they want me to be aware to try to stay in some sort of emotional capacity so that I don't blow a gasket or something. God knows what else is in here that could get blown. It just goes. So thank you to. And they're all at Northwestern Medicine anyway, although they would not want to admit it. Here's the other thing. Be listening. Coming up in just a few minutes, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see Howie Mandel from America's Got Talent and the star of Deal or No Deal.
Mm-hmm.
Performing live at Silver Creek Event Center Saturday, April 13th. Get tickets at Ticketmaster. Howie Mandel live at Four Winds Casino. Your entertainment escape. We got tickets coming up. Just a few minutes. Stay close, as they say.
Just don't try to shake his hand. He doesn't do that still.
Yes, that's true. We did pull him off the street, though. A couple. You weren't. I think you were not in the studio with us when we were on Michigan Avenue. Was it last year? You walked by, and we just grabbed him. Said, "Hey, come on in." And he sat with us for 20 minutes. We did bump elbows.
It was a kidnapping, to be honest.
Yeah,
sounds like it.
Right. He actually started making hand gestures to the people walking by, and then mouthing, "Help me."
Oh,
good interview.
Coming up, Howie Mandel tickets. Stay close.
Nice.
He's going to be at Silver Creek Event Center on Saturday, April 13th. Get tickets at Ticketmaster. Howie Mandel live at Four Winds Casino. Your entertainment escape.
Terrific.
All right. Mm-hmm. Welcoming Mumford and Sons to Chicago. Mumford and his sons.
Hmm.
Here.
All of them.
Yes.
All the sons?
It's a lot of sons. You ever seen them? I say there's like 40 people in that band.
Quite a few.
Yeah. And so one guy's playing an instrument with one string on it.
What is that anyway?
I don't know. I can't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool though.
It is cool.
Oh, they're great. They're amazing. Sold out at the United Center tonight.
Ah.
All right,
you're going?
I am not. Hmm. I'm not. I'm gonna do a real. I don't know what I'm gonna do tonight. Quite honestly, I have a lot of wounds to lick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a rough week for you, bro.
Whew.
I mean, really rough.
Woof.
Started in Arizona. Went
right.
Last night.
All that work you and Kevin had to do in Arizona golfing and stuff.
Yeah. You know what I say?
Started there.
I keep saying, hey, I'm just going to go home and rest tonight. And then when the Carnival Wagon rolls and the band starts playing, I'm going to go, well, it's Friday night.
I got to go somewhere.
Do something. I mean, it's a Friday night.
It's nice. Pretty nice weather out there, too.
How many Friday nights can you get, Let's face it. All right. John Cass joins us right now. John, I got a lot of questions for you of the Chicago Tribune, of course. Mr. Cass, Do you, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being yes. absolutely certifiable fact and 1 being there's not a chance in hell, do you think that there is the potential for corrupt intent at the state's attorney's office here in the Jussie Smollett case?
Are you kidding? That's my Muttley laugh. You know, that dog. The dog from the cartoon. I forgot yes. what cartoon. Are you kidding? Okay, look. They threw out a bait on the water, okay? Think of Kim Fox, right? Because they didn't go to... Whoever called Tina Chen to do this, could you please do me this service and save Jussie Smollett, they did not go to Rahm, right?
No.
Rahm is the boss of the police. He's the boss of Eddie Johnson. If you don't like what John Cass is writing, you don't go to Roe, you go to my boss, right?
I don't know why they keep coming to me, though.
Right, I know. They always do, yeah. You and Anna. All right, so why did they go to Fox? And they threw the bait out. You know, Anna, you're a fisherman, right? You like to fish, don't you?
I've been fishing. I'm not great at it, and I'm not really that fond of it, but I understand it.
Well, I'm thinking of, like, you throw out a topwater bait, like one of those long ones, and mm-hmm. I've got two treble hooks, one on one side, one on the other. And this fish came running out of the water, was roaring out to smash this lure so hard that it not only hooked itself in the lip, but it hooked itself with the other hook in the eye or in the side of the face.
I really don't like that. I feel badly about my fisher skills then.
Yeah.
I know. Don't you feel mm-hmm. bad for the poor little fish?
I do.
And in a way, I'm starting to feel bad for Kim Fox. Is that weird?
You are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're starting to feel bad for Kim Fox. Okay.
Because God. Who's... Wait a second.
Sorry. That my doctor makes us play that now because if I have... If my blood pressure goes up too high, then that alarm goes off, and I'm supposed to use a meditation app for 90 seconds. Go ahead.
That's it. Good. Just think deep thoughts.
Uh huh.
Yeah. But
so what do you think?
Kim
I mean,
Fox, come on,
but
Kim.
Do you think she's the useful idiot, or do you think that this is a vanity thing? What is the issue? For them to come out, this is the part that drives me so nuts about this, is for she to go and do the round of interviews that she's done and then assume that the Chicago, the metropolitan area's viewers and listeners of those interviews and that the reporters themselves are going to be so dumb or gullible that they are going to just put up with it and go, this happens all the time. This is just your standard diversion. There's nothing standard about this.
And you saw that. You saw two national groups, actually a state group as well, representing attorneys general, and they talked about, or representing law and justice system in general, just saying this is not standard. This is not a recusal. And she said she was recusing herself. This is not how these types of situations are handled without any sort of pleading of guilty.
I was stunned when I called her office on this a couple days ago. I'm like, wait, you everyone's saying recusal, and then Tondra sends me that email that I put in the paper. People have used it. Mm-hmm. You know, we only used recusal not in a legal sense, but in a colloquial sense.
Yeah, it's colloquial recusal.
What?
Yes, colloquial recusal, which was the name of my fourth album. I do not know how it is possible that they think that this is good service to the taxpayers of the county of Cook. Now, I'll tell you something.
What kind of band is colloquial refusal? Is that like
it's like Mumford? So we're opening for Mumford and Sons tonight. Hey, the thing is, it's funny. We talked to Michael Steele a little bit earlier on the program, and he lives in Washington D.C. And he was like, well, you know, his take on it, because he's just consuming national press on it, is that, well, maybe something did go wrong with the prosecution. Maybe they didn't have it. Maybe they couldn't do it. And that is not the case.
No, it was
calm them down. Anna,
I know this has been a desperate week. It really has.
I
think it's echoing the feelings of a lot of people who feel like this is sort of undermining our belief in that particular office until we learn more about what happened there.
What I found amazing, and I've only been doing this for 7,000 centuries, is when she stepped on it, and just blew up. There was no pushback for days.
Right.
The people who led her, who chummed the water so she'd go and bite. Now she's a star chaser, and so they chummed the water, and guess what? They got their fish. No one pushed back. They just let her.
Well, is that kind of where we are now? Even when there is a pushback, nobody pays attention to it. You're like, oh, it's just, people stake their position and they hold to it now.
Yeah, I guess so, but I'm still waiting for Michelle to call me, John, I'd like you to explain to you what it's really, Jesse's really a nice guy or something. I don't know.
No? Well, there's a thing there, too. I mean, the question is, because this Tina Chen woman, who we, not exactly a household name.
No.
But she finds herself in a couple of high-profile situations here. She was the chief of staff to Michelle Obama, the office of the first lady. And now she's an attorney, and now she's been brought in as a sort of a special counselor to this investigation into the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something going on there. That's,
yeah, like sexual harassment,
right,
or something.
Right. Discrimination and sexual harassment. So there's like a top to bottom review of that organization
that looks into those types of things,
right,
and tries to defend people for those types of issues.
Well, maybe there's a job there for Kim, to work with Tina.
I think that might be a good idea.
$500,000 a year.
Yeah, that might be a good idea. If I were, I said that Kim Fox is the former Cook County State's Attorney come next Friday, because when Tony Preckwinkle gets decimated, and I mean that in its proper term, decimated in this election on Tuesday, where she's beaten 5-1. All right, I'll take that bet.
I don't know. Although I think you are the first one. Did you call for her for Fox's resignation?
I did.
Right?
Yes, yeah, I did.
He did.
You're the first one that did. That's a big major move. Bro.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Awesome. I don't know what it does for anybody. No one's listening. She did not resign as soon as I called for it. I don't have the power that a John Cass has. But I think that Tony Preckwinkle is going to try to lose that. I mean, she's an elected official, but she is Tony Preckwinkle's sort of chosen one for this job, and that's not going to help Tony Preckwinkle. I think the pressure is going to be on for her to move along to a private side law firm.
There's going to be this weekend, I'm writing a column for Sunday now, at a diner, by the way, while I'm having the Greek diner where I'm having the fish chowder.
Yeah, there you go. You got a fish.
That's Friday, okay. Lent,
Yeah.
Wait, what were we saying now? I got distracted.
I was thinking about fish chowder too. I'm like, which one could it be? Because I know the good fish chowder ones. Right.
Because Preckwinkle is so desperate with all these things blowing up and backfiring, like the Bobby Rush thing was backfiring, the dog whistle, and aren't you proud of Lori Lightfoot for being gay and all that stuff that backfired? This thing, she's capable of anything now.
She's got a new ad out that's getting some attention because she basically points a finger at Lori Lightfoot, Preckwinkle does, for the fiery death of three children in that four children.
Little problem with that ad. You know what's going on now?
Hmm.
I guess one of the surviving siblings in that fire that Tony Preckwinkle is using for political advantage is saying, please take down the ad. You're using this ad to hurt,
as a weapon,
at the expense of our family to score political points. Will you please do it and take it down? And Tony Preckwinkle, stubborn as ever, like, I'm going to wear this suit of armor and go swimming. And she's going swimming in the suit of armor.
Oh, yeah, she is. Yeah, no question. Right. She will. We are going to find her lifeless, politically lifeless corpse at the bottom of the river on Tuesday night at about 7:05. What time did it
take? I don't know. She still could pull this out. I would.
Oh, God.
If I ran WGN, I'd send everyone, Jeff Carlin, you, and everybody, Justin, out to the churches on the west and south sides, because I think that's where the play will be. If she has any any chance to win, to even try to come close, she'll do something crazy.
Yeah, there's not enough, not enough votes. That's where she's going to get her. That's where she's going to get her 28% to. Well, you know what? I'll even go a little higher. That's where she's going to get her 36% to 64%.
Hmm.
Put it down right here. All right. Thank you very much, John Cass.
Thanks,
we love
John.
You. We appreciate
we
you. Sorry to interrupt your chowder. We were talking to Susan Sunshine. We're interrupting a croissant in the middle of Paris.
Right.
And now we're interrupting the fish chowder at lunch, or is it dinner? I don't even know. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, Josh. Bye.
Bye, John.
All right. Oh, God. What is the name of the guy that comes on after us?
You know his name, Ro. Come on. Justin Kaufman.
Justin Kaufman.
Yes.
Right. Okay. I knew it was a J. I always get Josh and Justin. I got those names confused.
Similar, but
yeah,
different.
Justin's going to join us here in just a second to tell us his thoughts on the election as well.
Nice.
Stay right here. But first, how about this? Caller number 19, 312-981-7200 rips me off for Howie Mandel tickets. He's going to be at Silver Creek Event Center on Saturday, April 13th. Ticketmaster is where the tickets are now. Howie Mandel live at Four Winds Casino, your entertainment escape. 312-981-7200, caller number 19. Kim Gordon, what's coming up in the news at the top of the hour?
Roe, President Trump threatening to shut down the southern border next week over illegal immigration.
Kim Gordon's news from Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way. Top of the hour. But before we get to that, Justin Kaufman has stepped into the studio. Aren't you proud of me? That guy's name right
there. Perfect. Yeah, nailed so it. And you only reminded four times.
It's almost like you know it, but you just do this bit. Like, you don't. It's this thing
weird
that you've been doing. It's weird.
I don't know. There's something
psychological.
I don't know what you mean, Jason. I have no idea. All right, let's talk about... can we talk about Election Night? Because you're doing something really cool.
I am. I'm hosting Election Night Returns for WGN Radio, which I've done for a couple years now. Mm-hmm. And we decided to get out of the studio, since it is Chicago.
Right.
You don't want to just, you know...
Chicago-only election.
Right, the Chicago-only, the runoff.
Mayor and then a handful of...
So we wanted to go gritty... city style, so we're doing it at the Billy Goat Tavern under Michigan Avenue live.
Oh, I like
can I
that.
Just say one thing about the Billy Goat Tavern is that gritty, you know, they redid it and they cleaned up the floors.
Mm-mm.
And that's a problem.
Doesn't feel the same.
I don't like when the floors are like a natural
non-sticky.
Color, like a modern color. The beauty of the Billy Goat Tavern is, even though they don't allow smoking in it anymore, is that the walls were yellow from nicotine and burger grease. And to me,
they cleaned that up. It's wrong.
And little pony beer. You know, that you could get with your shots, and then you would see a guy like a Cass, or you'd see a Royko.
Right.
Royko would be just getting smashed in there, and then he would turn and go, "Who the hell are you?" And then start swinging on somebody.
Yeah,
those were the days, man.
I have a feeling you'll be the one who bemoans the end of when Wrigley finally renovates and gets rid of the doldrums where all the snacks are. You know, when you go down into the area,
the
and
concourse.
That gets cleaned up in the concourse, and that looks nice. And it'll be the rows. You're like, I want it.
No, I don't like that because the bathrooms. No, I've been arguing that concourse has been a disaster the entire time.
Right, well,
when they're redoing, all I care about at Wrigley is the ivy. I mean, other than that, they could take the whole thing down and bring it back up, as far as I'm concerned.
Don't get rid of the troughs.
No. Well, that's true. That is a traffic issue.
Women don't understand this.
Yeah, don't
troughs.
Worry. We can't explain it. We don't want to explain it to you.
The troughs.
Kevin knows what I'm talking about.
Yep.
Listen, if you had actual urinals, it takes too long.
Yeah, I could see that. That's a time-saving thing, but it's a little weird.
But you also have to have a lot of confidence when you go up there.
Yeah, there's a lot of swagger.
Yeah.
I'm walking up
super
real
confident. You gotta be super confident. Right, exactly.
Not worried about this at all.
You guys, can we talk about the election a little bit? I mean, this is, wow.
All right,
We're broadcasting live 7 to 10 at the Billy Goat under Michigan Avenue, and it's going to be results shows, so there'll be we'll have all the results there, but it's open to the public.
That's 7:15.
To come on down for a double cheeseburger, for a drink.
What are you going to do? What time does it start? 7?
7.
What time does it end?
10.
Okay, what are you going to do for 2 hours and 45 minutes?
You think it's over at 7
o'clock? Yeah, I mean, there may be some aldermanic races to go.
Well,
late.
There's so much on the line, and I think that rightfully so, the mayor's race has taken the center stage. But there are a handful of races that are in runoff that are hotly contested at the aldermanic level that will change the way city council looks.
Sure, some upsets on the way, if you believe the polls.
And, We're not talking about races that are necessarily two powerhouse politicos in the area that are fighting, and they, each time they fight each other again, that kind of thing. We're talking about new politicians, new community activists, people who've never run for office before, who may ride the wave, if you will, and end up representing their ward, their neighborhood, and change the way city council looks and feels and reacts to the new mayor. So,
well, and also, but there's also there's some amateur hour situations here too, the potentially heading into the city council. And I always find that interesting because, and city councils are that one part of government where you can have people who just did had no experience in anything and end up in or in governance, let's say, that end up
most of them are. Even the aldermen who are incumbents, when they started, they don't have. There's no stepping stone.
Yeah, some of them are
aldermen.
Lawyers. A lot of them are lawyers.
Yeah, a lot of them are also former. They're former police officers and maybe former. Right.
Do they understand? But I'm going to stop you. Do they understand what the law is? Yeah. Is that what you said? The aldermen understand what the law is.
They're gonna. You're gonna get people who are former walk the beat precinct captains. You're gonna get people who.
Well, that's somebody. Somebody sent.
Somebody sent. Yeah. So I think that alderman has always been a position that there isn't a stepping stone. There isn't a way that you get there. So there always is going to be people who win because they had the right message and they can get in at that level and represent. Now, well, the problem has been over the last, I would say, 50 years, is you've had a city council that does whatever the mayor says, except for one tiny little sliver in the 80s when I can't remember who the mayor was then. I think it was Harold, might have been his name. Anyway, there was most of the time the city council's lockstep with the mayor and they do whatever they say. Daley had reign over the aldermen.
Yeah, he did. Well, both Daley's
reign
did.
Over the aldermen.
But it started even before Harold Washington. Sure. I mean, Jane Byrne had her own. There was a teapot dome.
Once Richard J. died, then everyone started to
people went along with Blandick, but Blandick was like, am I the mayor? Oh my God. What am I supposed to do here?
Ooh, it's snowing.
I don't know what's going on. This doesn't seem right. And then when they made Eugene Sawyer the mayor after Harold Washington died, and he literally clutched the desk as they were pulling him out to announce him as the mayor, and he's like, I'm not going out there.
I don't want to be the guy.
I'm not going out there.
What?
I will not go out there.
That is an
absolute true story, though. He did not want, I don't want it. I don't know. They go, you're the guy. No, not the guy.
He was an alderman. He didn't want that job. This was a compromise.
And he proved it.
It was a compromise. Yeah. Right. But I think you could see this time around what kind of council we're going to have. Is it going to be the kind that does whatever the mayor says? Is it going to be a council that pushes the envelope because it's maybe a new person who hasn't been in politics very long?
We're going to see how tough Lori is here. Now, on the off chance that Tony wins this and the unlikely event of a water landing or Tony wins this race, that we know already how tough she is.
Yeah.
She runs that thing like a,
sure.
You know, she's tough. But Lori, she's new to it.
And she wants to get rid of the aldermanic prerogative. That's one of her platforms that she's running on. So she wants to take away some of the power of the alderman who gets to vote on it.
Let's see how the aldermen like that, right? When they're like, you're going to take away our power, the only power we have? Great.
I'm sorry, you're the what?
Right. We'll see how that works
out. Wasn't part of the deal.
I think it's going to be exciting, and we're doing it Tuesday night. So come on down to the Billy Goat. It's going to be a fun time.
All right,
awesome.
I'm doing the Fox with the Flannery, and that I'll be off the set by 7:30.
Awesome. Come down, for sure.
Race will be over.
Yeah. Exactly. We're going to go back to Empire, now already in progress.
Bring some muddy shoes so you can muddy up the floor for us.
Thank you. I would like to do that. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. You know what it means there. That's 5 o'clock. So the fun begins. Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 7:20 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Penny Mustard Furnishings brings you Kim Gordon's news.
It's the Rokan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis. Earlier, we were talking, kind of a divided moment for the team here at the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. We were saying, well, the boys on the show, the men, were saying that A Star is Born is far superior to Star Wars, which launched a Twitter debate that Lauren set up for us. And you guys are losing badly.
Loser! Losers! Hey, by the way, it is as far as I'm concerned, it's boys and girls.
Well, we kind of act like it sometimes.
Right. I don't think anybody who sees me and Kevin out. Would ever go, those are two grown men.
No,
they are responsible men. That is just not how it goes. We were out last night at, we went to this fundraiser for USA Cares, and I gotta say, thrown by the Verdoliak Law Group, and I just gotta say that there's a childlike thing. Lauren was the adult in the room, without question.
And still the shortest person in the room as well.
Yes, but still the adult. She had a towering presence of adult behavior, and sort of like I'd like to apologize for
Put that down. Stop doing that.
Right.
Where are you going?
Exactly. Okay, here, she tried to hand us an iPad to play with.
I know that move. That's a great move.
Right. You're going to sit down here and just play whatever that game is you're playing.
It'll divert your attention really easily from what you're doing.
Here's my credit card for a token. Don't worry about it.
You put me near an open bar and things get dangerous.
There was a lot of hijinkery going on there. But it was for a good cause.
It was.
That's the way that we looked at it.
That's how you cover it up.
Yeah.
Glad you guys behaved.
Yeah, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And she's literally at some moment she goes, please stop doing that. All right, here we go.
I gotta do the close mouth.
The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Oh, this will be good. Checking in at
number five.
Eyes to the right, 286. The nose to the left, 344. So the nose have it. The nose have it.
That sounds like that guy on CNN that is like the aviation guy.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That the guy who got naked in Central Park. Right?
Is that why you don't see him on that much anymore?
No.
Aviation
no, he's back.
Oh, he's back.
Oh, he's totally back.
I saw the aviation stories today and I missed him.
No, he's back. He's like a guy that Richard Quest, I think his
name
is.
That's it. Yes.
He's the guy who, like 10 years ago, was in Central Park in New York and like he took his pants off and started doing some, stupid human tricks, the stuff underneath the pants.
Weird.
And then immediately went into rehab. This is what I suggested for Jussie Smollett.
It didn't work out. It would have been a good course of action, but turns out it was the wrong advice.
Right. He went into rehab, and now he's got his career back, right? That's what that sounds like. On the right! I don't understand anything.
Sounds like chaos.
That is the Brexit vote going down again in London. So they couldn't come up with a solution. There were been a number of solutions on the table here for England to figure out how to do this Brexit that they all voted for in the summer of 2016. By a very thin margin, but Brexit passed, Britain leaving the EU, and now they don't know what to do because it's one of those things like we were talking about before. It sounds good. It sounds very satisfying, but it's terrible public and financial and economic policy. But it sounded like a good idea when they did it, and there were enough angry people, because to angry people, anything sounds good that's not whatever the status quo is.
She's in the awkward position because she didn't support it, and now she has to come up with a plan to create Brexit, to make it work.
It's populism. I hate populism.
Yeah, even so though now she's going to give it her fourth try, and then she may call for an election and not be around anymore.
She said she'd quit if they passed it, she'd quit. You don't have to worry about me anymore.
But it isn't her, I don't think. It's just...
It's stupid,
it's
angry, and it's also Putin playing with this thing in the social media there.
Today should have been the day that the United Kingdom left the European Union. That we are not leaving today is a matter of deep personal regret to me. Today we can give the public and businesses the certainty they need. Today we can show we stand by our word. Today we can show that we can come together in the national interest.
Doesn't sound like they're getting anywhere with this.
Eyes to the right, 286. The nose to the left, 344. So the nose have it, the nose have it.
Draw your nose out. Take a little big hand nose. How about everybody sounds drunk?
Yeah, they kind of do. I just keep thinking of body parts, like eyes physically looking to the left and nose point to the left or the right.
It's exactly right. Hold on, I gotta take me knickers off right now and say something to you.
That's how I sounded last night after the event. Oh. I was like, why are you talking like that? I'm like, I don't know. Just get me help, bro.
I don't know. Oh, man. All right, well, good luck to them. I think that.
Good luck. I think it.
I've been fabulous. All right, here we go.
Number four.
Oh, this is much, you know, the United States, mm-hmm. you know, we're in much better shape than they are there. The president was in Grand Rapids, Michigan last night, and he was having quite an evening. This is his first post-Mueller rally.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And you knew it. You knew it was.
Not happy with the Democrats. No, he's not.
The Democrats have to now decide whether they will continue defrauding the public with ridiculous bullshit, partisan investigations, or whether they will apologize to the American people and join us to rebuild our crumbling infrastructure.
I don't know what it, whatever it was. He was at the big, like the hockey rink there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how many people that holds, Grand but Rapids. You know, 10,000 or whatever. He's got a lot of people there, right? And mm-hmm. this is a big one. And you knew this was going to be this, you know, this first one out after this. So this would be a big victory lap. But then he decides, he's thinking to himself, you know, I should swear in front of these people. It's good. I'm the president of the United States. I mean, there's a lot of people who stop and go, you know, you. Like when your kid does something bad and they get to go, well, the president would do it. Which, by the way, started with Bill Clinton. I would like to just point that out. That one knows more, less kids, more husbands, but whatever.
Probably true.
Yeah, but it was, but that's still an excuse. I mean, think about the way that the, you know, the last 30 years essentially have just kind of 40 years, if you want to count Nixon, it just kind of dismantled the whole thing. I don't understand.
Well, I think one of the things he said last night that was of local interest is when he said he was going to give $300 million to the Great Lakes restoration and help the Great Lakes. But his budget from a few weeks ago had said $30 million was what was sufficient. And now, you know, he's been cutting it year to year. I mean, for 3 years in a row, he'd cut Great Lakes funding, and now
all right,
he's
I missed
in Michigan,
a zero.
$300 million.
Little mistake I made. There's a big. I don't know if there's a difference between $30 and $300 million. I hear he is talking about this. He said this before, but then he goes again last night and says this about the Washington elites.
I always say they say the elite. They're the elite. I'm not. Well, I have a better education than them. I'm smarter than them. I went to the best schools. They didn't. Much more beautiful house, much more beautiful apartment, much more beautiful everything. And I'm president and they're not, right?
Oh, no.
Nah, 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 nah.
We need some psychoanalysis of that. What is it, Ro? What's the answer?
I don't think we need psychoanalysis. I think we've got that figured out.
That was a little more than we've heard before. That one was even, I mean, what? I'm president and they're not.
Now, what about Jussie Smollett?
MAGA country, you heard the other day? How about in Chicago? He said...
Oh.
He said he was attacked by MAGA country. Did you ever hear that one? Maybe the only time I've ever agreed with the mayor of Chicago. Maybe.
Boo.
Boo, Chicago.
Grand Rapids.
Boo,
Chicago,
Jussie.
Boo. I think I know what they're booing there in the middle of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Oh, hell no. I know what's in Chicago. All right. Oh, and, geez. Oh, wait, hold on. And this, I think, was a high point in American political history.
Little pencil neck Adam Schiff got the smallest, thinnest neck I've ever seen. He is not a long ball hitter. But I saw him today. Well, we don't really know. There could still have been some Russia collusion. Sick. Sick. These are sick people.
Oh, little pencil neck. You know, that's not what he wanted to say.
No.
No.
I don't think
it's
so.
It's similar.
Not a long ball hitter. There's always a guy at the golf course. Look at that weasel over there. He ain't no long ball hitter.
It's true. It is kind of golf course humor, right? Isn't
yeah.
that is?
Right. But again, the term would not be pencil
no.
neck.
Right. I'm going to guess no.
No. All right. Now, what if the president were drunk.
They're the elite. I'm not. Well, I have a better education than them. I'm smarter than them. I went to the best schools they didn't. Much more beautiful house. Much more beautiful apartment. Much more beautiful everything. And I'm president and they're not.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. There you go. All right. So that was Kevin at the bar last night. All right.
I love that the
pencil neck Adam Schiff got the smallest, thinnest neck I've ever seen. But I saw him today. Well, we don't really know. There could still have been some Russia collusion.
That's right. I think I'm going to throw up.
His smartest line was followed by a grammatically incorrect sentence.
I think the whole thing
was. Come on.
I
did it get any better than that?
All right, wait, one more? Really? All right, fine.
China!
Oh, God.
China! We've gone up, they've gone down, but we want them to be healthy. We want them to be happy and healthy.
So, God. I mean, they're the worst neighbors ever. It's loud. So many of them. I steal stuff right out of here, right in front of us. What a good God.
Hey, how do you like the idea of one car per family? I don't think so.
I don't think
one car per family in Michigan plays too well. Do you agree? And it's got to be, of course, an electric car, even if only goes, what, 160 miles? What do you do? It's 160 miles, darling. Where do I get a charge? Where do I get a charge,
Oh, God. All right. Well, get to your three, your two, and your one. First, Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
The Reverend Jesse Jackson says Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox did the legal and right thing by recusing herself from the Jesse Smollett case.
Then there's this week on Chicago's Best. Get ready for a Big Fat Greek episode where family and food comes first. Chicago's Best Greek Food, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Oh, Opa. That's tough.
That is tough.
That's tough right there.
I mean,
best Greek restaurants outside of Athens, right here in Chicago.
No question.
Yeah. I don't know what to do about that.
I don't either. I got my favorites, but doesn't mean that they're the best. But there's a lot of competition.
Checking in at
number three.
Remember Tone Loke?
Sure.
He was detained at a Texas airport. It's the Texas International Air and Space Port. Wait, hold on a second. Do they know something we don't know? What do you mean, spaceport?
Well, you know what we're going to do. We're going to name it the spaceport so that people think that we're going to the moon.
It's the Midland International Air and Spaceport. Yeah. Midland.
That's not why we called, though. He is seen engaging in a shouting match with a couple while exiting the airport. Apparently, Mr. Loke, whose real name is Anthony Smith, and the man and woman are visibly angry as they exchange words because apparently one of the people in the group was wearing, wait for it, a Confederate flag hat.
Watch your son in a Confederate flag. I hope you feel taller, man.
You know why?
You better
you know
get
why
up,
he can wear it? Because it's in America.
You better wear that motherfucker out of here.
Shut up. This is America.
Shut up. All that Confederate flag.
It's enough.
All that Confederate shit. All right. No, I'm
going to
just
say,
you
got to
touch me. Oh, but you're
going to
let him go.
Oh,
you got arrested?
Here we go. Oh, my God.
Gee.
All right. Well, that's just let that stand by itself. All right, here we go. Checking in at
number two.
Step inside. Walk this way. You and me, babe. Hey, hey.
Somehow, the Rock and Roll Hall, that song and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame work together here.
Totally.
2019 induction ceremony tonight, taking place at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. We got your Def Leppard.
Nice.
Right? Just heard that.
The Def Leppard.
Stevie Nicks, The Zombies, Roxy Music, The Cure, Radiohead, and Janet Jackson. UK rockers were eligible for induction 14 years before finally being chosen. Joe Elliott admits that after being overlooked for so long, he had bad feelings about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But now he says that that's all changed, that he's been let in.
Really? For me, the whole thing turned around 360 degrees from an attitude point of view. You know, it was because we get information now in like microseconds on a daily basis. You see how the thing goes from, you know, you've been, you know, eligible for 13 years and people started telling us this 10 years ago and we were like getting fed up of always saying, look, you know, we don't care anymore. But then all of a sudden, 15 months ago, we got the nod that we were probably going to be nominated. And so we were like, okay.
How come the guy from Def Leppard makes more sense than the British guy from Parliament?
Eyes to the right, 286. The nose to the left, 344.
Does that hurt anybody else? Does. Yeah, that didn't seem right.
At least the vote went in Def Leppard's favor, because they deserve it.
Mm-hmm. They get to stay.
Number one.
They've given the cowboy boot to this cowboy. Singer Lil Nas is in a genre feud and claims discrimination. This week after his viral hit, Old Town Road, was banned from the Billboard country charts for apparently not being country enough. Is that really where we are here? Swear to God. It's like, well, now, dude, I'm going to explain something to you. This old Lil Nas, now that is not a country artist right there. We're going to take him right off. Because we're not going to let this all happen to our music.
Yeah, I'm going to take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm going to ride till I can't no more. I'm going to take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm going to ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back. Horse stock is attached. Is matte black, got the boosters black to match. Riding on a horse.
What in the hell is this crap?
He's talking about a horse. Does that qualify? This is the funniest tractor thing I've ever heard.
All right, now. All right, boys, all having a bunch of fun with us now, I understand. But y'all gonna have to move along, take out the Billboard charts. What the hell you think you're doing? You're not from around here now, are you, Nas?
Take it off the charts.
Yeah, I'm going to take my horse to the Old Town Road. I'm going to...
All right, now, we're just going to clear out of here. We don't want no trouble from all y'all types. All right. Can we... Oh, my God. See?
This is what we're talking about.
See what's going on?
Yes.
Now, you see, here's the best part, is that that idiot guy from Britain, he sounded better than what we're doing here now. All right.
What they're doing is making more sense.
Here we go.
The top five at five.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Leave me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here. I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer.
Great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life, and I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it, I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
I have a better education than them. I'm smarter than them.
See, we can't blame alcohol for this.
I went to the best schools they didn't. Much more beautiful house. Much more beautiful apartment. Much more beautiful everything.
Yeah.
And I'm president and they're not.
Right, yeah. It's true.
You're not either.
Yeah.
I'm not either.
And he's not even drunk. And that's the damnedest thing. That's the funniest thing. All right. Now, because I say things like that after, being served in a way that I was irresponsible to myself.
Mm-hmm.
These things happen. Yeah, these things do happen. At least I have the excuse. All right. Carnarvon Wagon is rolling. Goose Island and Cork and Kerry are here. Now, why Goose Island and why Cork and Kerry? One might ask. Well, you know, White Sox season has begun right here on WGN.
Yes.
It started in earnest yesterday, and we have got, for the home opener, next Thursday, it's like an all-day thing happening down right next to the rate, as I like to call it. I hope mm-hmm. everybody's okay with that.
I
guaranteed
think
so. Rate. I know they paid a lot of money for it. So there is the Cork and Kerry at the park, which is on 35th and Princeton. And is we
33rd.
Did I say 33rd? 35th? Why did I say 35th? I said it is 33rd. Yes, thank you. 3259, to be exact. And it is, I know where it is. Don't worry. I got it.
You found it before. I've seen you there.
Yes. I found both the Cork and Kerry's.
Found them.
I have a human GPS. I don't even need anything to tell me how to get there.
The internal bar GPS.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know how like fish in the ocean know to swim to a certain spot?
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of what I do with Cork and Kerry. It's one of my, Cork and Kerry in Beverly is, I mean, it's a cultural institution, right? I mean, mm-hmm. there's no two ways around that place. And it is where you could see almost anything happen, especially during a major sporting event there. It is, people are very passionate.
It's amazing.
Very passionate. All right, now, let's get back to this. We got Goose Island, which is our absolute favorite, you know, Chicago's, you know, the great invention of Chicago,
mm-hmm.
Goose Island, and Cork and Kerry getting together. And we've got a number of selections here that for people who like the idea of maybe getting a little, you know, wider in their taste palate in terms of carbonated beverages that are either beer or carbonated fermented product, I think is what I'm just going to call mm-hmm. this to keep it wide. All right. So Bill Guidy, of course, from Cork and Kerry is here. And Jesse Valenciana,
yes.
Yes, is with us. And now let's start. Come out and join us, first of all, on Thursday. If you're going to the Sox home opener, I think the party starts at Cork and Kerry at, what, like 4 in the morning? What time are we starting at 4 at Cork and Kerry?
Officially 10.
Officially 10, right.
Correct.
That's right. Officially, I'm doing the thing, officially at 10. And then it goes throughout
the day.
Just ton of fun. Steve Cochran starts his show at 6 a.m. in the park.
Mm-hmm.
I'm joining that show at 9 a.m. which I call gentlemen's hours. Let's just be honest.
Yeah.
And then
is the bar going to be open at 9 a.m.?
No, he said 10. So,
well, officially.
Officially.
Oh, the official.
Yes.
Okay.
But is the bar open?
I just, you know,
what kind of question
just
is that?
It's opening day.
For a friend who's going to be there at 9 in the morning.
Right, exactly. And if we just happen to, you know, find our way up.
Who's asking?
That's exactly right. Who's asking? That's what we say on the South Side. All right, so let's talk about the beers. And there's also a cider here, too, right?
Coming soon.
Oh,
that's a tease.
That's what you have in your hand is a dry hop 312.
All right, let's try this
sexy
first.
Can.
The pink can?
No, it's a big black can.
Big black can.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was my nickname in high school. All right, now this is the this is something. Explain what the difference is between this and the 312.
It's a twist on the original. So we've had 312. Which is our American wheat since about 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of years ago, we started playing around with dry hopping it, so adding hops on the cold side of the beer.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not getting that bitterness, but you're getting those really nice hoppy
really nice.
Notes right. On the nose.
Very smooth.
Yeah.
I'm loving that. And it's the alcohol content is pretty low on this
it's
one.
It's pretty low, yeah.
Oh,
so well,
you start out at 9 in the morning with this one, Ro.
That's a good breakfast beer for you
mm-hmm.
for next Thursday.
Now, wait a second. Just wait a second. I could sue you for that, except it's true. All right. Now, the nice thing about this, though, the dry hop was, you know, like in the 80s and 90s, they were trying this. But I don't think it ever worked quite as well as it's working now. There's a whole different process here, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, people were experimenting. I think we're at a point now where it's actually the hops that we're adding into them. And in this beer, it's these Saaz hops. So they're, I call them the cool kid hops. A lot of different breweries are using those as like their driving flavor in beers. So where we had a really amazing base beer, we just kind of oomphed it up a little bit, you know?
Can I tell you something else that's really fun that Goose Island is doing at the rate? This year is they've initiated Goose Island. It's a natural island. They built an island out in right field. Well, they surrounded it with water. They surround seats with water. Don't worry. Trust me.
Swim to them?
Trust me, it works. And it's a special section. Like you could do, you know, parties and things like that. It's really, what a great idea this is. Because there was a sort of an underutilized part of the, and Goose Island's got such a, you know, again, Chicago's very own, and it's just it's a really nice addition to what is really a lot of fun day or night at the ballpark.
When we saw the plans, everybody at the brewery is pretty excited about it.
Super cool.
The Goose Island Island.
and it's just say Goose Island. If you say V, they get mad at you. It's like it's Goose Island. It's Goose Island. That's what that is.
And I like how there's an actual goose out there.
Yeah. I saw that.
You got to check that out. There's a big, really big, cool. big, huge, like larger than human size goose.
Unless you're really large human. But yes.
Shaquille O'Neal, no. Part. But yeah, most people, okay.
312 really cool. Dry hopped. 312 dry hopped. Yeah. All right, we love this. We love this.
This is great. Right? And look at the can design. I mean, that's like.
We got that on tap over there by Cork and Carry? We got that?
We will on Thursday.
On Thursday?
Yep.
Can you start running that tap right now? Make sure that's good. I want to get the foam off now. I'm just worried. That's Make how nervous I am about this. I don't want the first one to be too foamy. All right. Let's talk about the Goose Island IPA. This is your standard IPA.
So right? That's the Next Coast IPA. That's the new sexy IPA that we've got that has come out already. But
Jesse, very interesting. Everything's sexy now.
I think I'm overusing that word, but I don't think I am because I'm looking at that can.
Flies.
I'm tasting the beer. I'm going to stick to that.
It's sexy. Okay. Sexy. All right, here we go.
All right.
Next Coast sexy IPA. Beer. All right.
So Next Coast is kind of this, our take on a West Coast and an East Coast. So it's got a little bit of haze, but not like the crazy cloudy East Coast beers. And it's got that really nice hop profile. So you're getting it on the nose, on the palate, but it's not bitter. So you smell it. I try not to smell
my beer because I get the bubbles up my nose and I start to sneeze. That's been a problem with me since I was 8.
Yeah,
let's talk about that off air.
Yeah.
Okay, we might have to get that checked out.
Okay,
but on the nose, I tell people I get almost like fruity pebbles on the nose.
Oh yeah, now that you say it,
and then you taste it, and you're getting almost these like really nice citrusy grapefruity.
Yeah. So what's the fruity thing?
Grapefruity. Yeah,
that's the hops. So
those are hops that do that.
Yeah.
We don't put no grapefruit in there or nothing?
Nope.
It does.
Nope.
As they like to say at the Cork and Carry on Western Avenue. All right. Okay, so we're it's in a silver can. Very cool. Next Coast IPA. Totally worth it.
Yeah.
We're going to get that on tap? What are we going to do?
Making some phone calls
for you. Make some phone calls. All right.
We'll make it.
Got a guy.
Because I do like that. I do love this stuff on the tap. I think that Goose, that's the one thing about 312 originally when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And if you had it on tap, you were never going anywhere else. It became your, as long as that handle was somewhere.
It's such an iconic thing, too. It was a telephone handle. So it was a time where everybody was just kind of giving these different boring tap handles. Here's Goose Island with either have a goose or you have this phone. So now you can actually have two goose beers side by side, and people would be like, oh, you know what? Give me that phone.
Which the only problem is that young millennials, or the new whatever this next generation is just turning 21 now, that is like the post-millennial, they don't know what that is. They have never seen that. They're like, with that black thing that's got like the two circles, one on the bottom, one on the top. What is that?
Like sideways smiley face. I don't know what it is. It's a mustache.
I don't know. What is that? All right. What's the SPF?
So this is, I feel, is the sleeper for the summer. This is
First of all, it's in a pink can. Yeah. So you got to be a real man in order to be able to drink this one.
Yeah.
I've got
huge hands, so it looks really sexy in my hand.
It does.
It's like big manly hands with this pink can.
Makes your hands look bigger, too, so that'll help out.
Kev, this man's not afraid of the trough as we are. All right. Yeah. Go ahead.
Passion fruit, Saison. Again, this is going to get me in trouble this summer. I'm going to be sitting on my porch having too many of these because I can
No question. That is really a great beer. I'm not huge in beer. I love this beer.
Super fruity.
Can you explain what it is? What's in it?
It's a passion fruit ale.
Wow.
You're adding passion fruit to that, which is summertime passion fruit.
You know where this is going to sell like a lot?
Everywhere, hopefully?
Yeah. Everywhere. But, you know, Hawaii will go nuts.
I got to call Hawaii right now and be like, hey.
Yeah, you want me to go? Let me get down there. You know what I'll do? I'm going to do this for you. Absolutely not completely free of charge. I will represent Goose Island in Hawaii for you.
Fantastic.
Let's just get for 2 weeks.
We were looking for someone to be the
Thank
hero
you.
To do it.
Thank
and
you.
You're the man.
He'll take 38%
yes.
of the...
That's not bad. That's not bad. We'll give you 50 just to...
This one I can see. I mean, I can see a lot of my friends drinking this. This is awesome.
Yeah.
It's very special. Like, nice summer drink.
And it's,
Love
you
it.
Know, it's one of those beers, too, when someone says, I don't want bitter, I don't want this, and they come up with excuses.
Yeah.
And
oh, no, it's
you
great.
Put this in their hand, and you're like, here.
Well, it's in a pink can. It does seem like it may be sort of marketed toward women.
Is
who
it?
Are not
no.
initial beer drinkers.
No.
No? I don't think I think you're making that up.
No, I'm being completely
he looks honest.
Honest. Yeah. If you look at all of you, I look honest.
Big
when he said that, I was
Make sure I take my hat off because right. then things change.
Oh.
All right. All right. So it's very, very good.
Yeah.
It is
delicious.
Excellent.
All right. And then, and finally, this is just the Goose Island Lager. Right,
Natural Villain. So
Natural Villain.
We had a lager before. We kind of wanted to do away with that, and this beer actually was born out of a collaboration with a band, a local band, Twin Peaks, for Pitchfork Music Festival.
Oh, wow!
So this started off as a really small scale. We kind of grew it for the festival itself, and it was just selling like crazy.
That's great.
So,
oh my! You know what that is?
What
that is? The taste of my. Young adulthood, almost a
High
childhood.
School?
Almost
going
a childhood.
Back a little
young,
bit.
Young adulthood,
prom
right there.
Or pre-prom.
It's got that lager. It's got that really cool local lager taste yeah. to it that you'd find in, you know, some of the great like super local beers that were lagers from Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you've done something here, my friend.
That beer is so good, and I hope I don't get fired for this. But I've been doing is cutting up lime and sticking it in there.
Oh.
And we call it a garage lager, and honestly, I'm like, all right, so I'll be in the garage working on the motorcycle. I'm going to have a 12-pack of this.
I do not want to compare this to beers of the past, because I know nobody likes when you do that, but I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're of a certain age and you mm-hmm. try this, you're going to go, oh, my God, that's full of... And you can't say the word. That is amazing.
Yeah.
That, really well done. All right.
Thank you.
Goose Island.
Those are amazing.
And now, Bill's a man of few words, thank God. He is the owner of Cork and Carry.
Bill hasn't been asked anything yet.
Well, because Bill's asked, are you putting on tap? What are you doing? What are you going to do? Starting on Thursday, do not miss this. If you're coming out to the Sox game, stop by Cork and Carry. If you're ever going to a Sox game, stop by Cork and Carry. Stop, and even if you're not going to a Sox game and you're on the South Side, go to the Cork and Carry on Western in Beverly, because it is the kind of place that they should be shooting every one of these TV shows about what a Chicago bar looks like.
It's
Is that not true?
Absolutely.
And great bar food. Great.
Thank you.
Great bar food as well. And a great outdoor, too. There's a little sneak outdoor. People don't even realize it's there.
How about the new collaboration with Virtue Cider coming out?
Now, I'll talk about that on the other side. South Cider. Hear
perfect.
Me? You hear me?
That's
hear
perfect.
What I just said there? South Cider. When is that coming out?
We're looking at probably mid-May.
Mid-May. That's nice for the cider.
That's a nice time.
You're going to have that. Now, that's going to be cans only
strictly
or on
cans? Yeah, strictly cans.
All right. Oh, such a...
And yes, North Cider will be right behind that, so...
Is that going to be... Because this one's in black. Is the North Cider going to be in a blue can?
Probably pink.
Oh! That is fucking
he's
like
taking
a South
shots.
Cider right there.
Wait. There's
he's
nothing wrong with pink.
Shots.
We've got SPF right here. Okay?
We just had extra.
All right, you two
we
don't fight.
Cans.
I don't know. You stop fighting. Okay, hold on. Cam, what's coming up at the top of the hour?
Two Illinois congressmen calling for changes around the Sterigenics plant in Willowbrook.
Rokon Show with Anna DeBlantis right here, 720 WGN. The Canarbal Wagon is out. Goose Island and Cork and Carry are here.
Yes.
And there's a good reason for that. Because Goose Island is Chicago's very own. I think it's the greatest beer institution in Chicago history, without question. And it is one of those places that it started as a local brewery. You could go to the brewery itself and start with that, and then expanded all over the country. And people are like, "What is this?"
Right.
I mean, the craft beer revolution started with you. So there's no question about that.
It's crazy to think about that with so many breweries in Chicago alone. When you talk to people, and I do a lot of the education for the brewery, and when you're telling people the history, and you go, where you're sitting right now, there was nothing else around there. There's a Patagonia now, but back in the day when this opened, you wanted to get out of that neighborhood because you might get stabbed.
I know. I lived in that neighborhood. Actually, I lived at the brewery, but that's a whole other story. And Cork and Carry, another great Chicago institution, 33rd and Princeton, for the Cork and Carry on the Park, right next to the Rate. And then across the parking lot and a park. It's beautiful, actually. You got a nice view when you stand out there in the street, which I do all the time, because Bill Guidi throws me out of the bar, which like, is a really right, interesting.
Done. Not true.
Yeah, and then of course, on Western in Beverly, that is a quintessential Chicago institution right there, Cork and Carry. If you've not been to Cork and Carry, go, because it writes its own story every night. That is the truth.
That's a good way to put it.
And it's a wonderful marriage. And you're doing like a handle takeover, right? Is that the idea here for Goose Island?
To have takeover for at least the first homestand and hopefully longer.
Starting Thursday.
So starting step, sooner.
You can do it at both, or are you just doing it in the south?
At the park.
Just at the park.
Yes.
Okay. All right. And you're going to have to try these brand new Goose Island beers because they're
outrageously good.
Amazing.
Oh.
How many? What's the whole portfolio now? How many? Under the Goose Island.
I mean, last year we put out about 100, over 100 beers, you know. But these are our big bets. You know, a lot of the beers that we put out are taproom only.
Yeah.
You can't really scale them up too much. But these are our the big guys for 2019.
All right.
Yeah.
You're my guy. You're always going to be my guy.
I'm here.
All right, for you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
All right, Carnival Wagon continues to roll. We got Live Music Friday coming your way as well. Stay tuned. More coming your way in the news, I should say, with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom in 2 minutes.
On the weekends, we were drunk on some peach Boone's farm or someone's brother.
Oh, I love that.
Wow.
Joe Hanson Band are here. That's from their forthcoming album, Joe Hanson. Joe Hanson is a human and a band and an album. I love that. That's the way to do it, kids. All right, and they're going to be coming up in Live Music Friday.
Amazing.
That is. And okay. We do have the best musical acts for an AM radio station. I don't know. But if you do have a smart speaker or you want to listen on the app, this is a great way to do it, and you can run it through your car. Because when you hear the sonic breadth of what this Studio G can do to a band. I mean, I literally have bands lined up trying to get in here
because it sounds so good. I mean, they sound so good already, but the sound quality is amazing. It merits their work.
Stones called me and said, we're going to be in Chicago.
But we're worried about Brexit at all. First, we want to make that sorted out first.
Yeah, if we come last year, it's nothing for you. Thank you, Keith. Appreciate it. Yes, all right, Richard Roper joins us, and he's on the Super Celebrity Hotline today because he's very, very busy. Very busy man.
He is.
And Dumbo, I'm hearing myself here, and I think that's just the phone. Dumbo is coming out, and Dumbo has already created controversy. And that's the thing. We live in an era where even a cute movie about an elephant whose parents are dead, that's a spoiler alert. That it creates controversy. Why?
What are people controversying about?
About whether or not it's going to be great, it's going to be bad. Elephant politically correct enough? Why does the elephant's ear move like that? I mean, it's like, the elephant flies now. Now we're going to have flying elephants. I mean, it's
clearly an attack on the Republican Party with Dumbo symbolizing the warped, figured look of the new party. No. It's Dumbo, folks. Settle down. But, here's the thing. You guys, everybody knows Dumbo was a Disney cartoon a million years ago. It was the shortest Disney animated film of all time. It was right about 60 minutes long. It was a very simple tale they created it kind of quickly because, remember, Fantasia was kind of crazy, and they said, we need to go back and just do a really, which was a great film, by the way, but they said, we'll do a real simple fairy tale. As you guys know, they're taking every single Disney animated film and making live-action movies out of them. They started doing this quite a while ago, actually, with 102 Dalmatians, 101 Dalmatians, Alice in Wonderland, Jungle Book. Later this year, we're going to get the live-action version of The Lion King. It's genius, right? Because they already have all these cartoons, these animated classics in their catalog, Beauty and the Beast. You know, let's make a live-action. So now Tim Burton is doing Dumbo, which means, you know, Tim Burton's kind of a dark guy. He's done a lot of crazy movies over the years. So this is a PG version of Dumbo. It's live-action. And as Ro mentioned, because it's a Disney movie, there has to be a lot of tragedy. So here's the setup here. This is set like around 1919. Colin Farrell comes home from World War One. He's missing an arm. He lost an arm over in France. And he was a champion rodeo rider, so that could be a problem. While he was gone, the wife died of the plague.
Oh, no.
So now he's got the two little kids, and now they just added Dumbo to the circus. And on top of all that, there's a rich guy played by Michael Keaton who wants to exploit Dumbo, so he wants a beautiful French trapeze artist to actually ride Dumbo. So this is your Dumbo of 2019. There's a lot going on here. I got a clip for you guys. You're going to hear the voices of Colin Farrell as the one-armed World War One vet and widower, Eva Green as the French trapeze artist, and in the role of Dumbo, Dumbo. Here we go.
Welcome. For the record, this was not my idea. Dumbo works alone.
So do I.
Bonjour, Billy.
Ciao.
And you? Charming.
Well, maybe he doesn't recognize you without makeup. So I got to teach you to fly?
I know how to fly. Ever since I was a child. They taught Dumbo to fly, no? So I don't need your expertise.
All right.
Right.
And then flying ensues, right?
And then lots of flying ensues. And, you know, it is remarkable with the technology these days because, as we've been saying, it's a live-action film. And that little elephant really looks like a little elephant with oversized ears who can fly. And when he flies, you fly with him. Now, this does get kind of dark and a little crazy at times, but I'm still giving it 3 stars because it's still essentially about that misfit elephant who is the object of derision, who gets called Dumbo, but then soars and becomes the hero. And that's always been the message of Dumbo, right? Dumbo is a hero for our times.
Right.
Sure.
He truly is a hero for our times now because it's about overcoming the bully, right?
It absolutely is. And you know, and the fact that, you know, the children, of course, are the first ones to believe in Dumbo, the two little kids, because Dad, you know, says, oh, what are you talking about? You know, you're making stories up. And, you know, all the great lessons that almost every Disney movie has for kids to see that and to see. Yeah, because the first time Dumbo appears in the circus, everyone's laughing at him and everything, you know. And eventually everybody who should be cheering for him is cheering for him. And Dumbo never meant any harm to anyone. Dumbo doesn't know he's unusual looking. He's just Dumbo.
And you say it with Tim Burton, it takes a dark turn. This is still a kids movie, right?
It is. It's PG though, Anna. So I think if you're 5 years old, you might have some nightmares, you know, about some of the things that happen. You know, Michael Keaton playing a villain. It's kind of interesting because Danny DeVito plays the circus, kind of the ringleader, you know, of the circus, and Michael Keaton is the evil corporate guy that wants to exploit Dumbo. So they're kind of reversing their roles because in Tim Burton's Batman movies, Michael Keaton was the good guy and Danny DeVito was the Penguin. Remember that?
Yes, way back in the day. I do.
So, and there's even some kind of tributes to that. There's a kind of a dark zoo scene like they had in the Penguin, in the original Batman Returns movie. So,
the Tim Burton Batmans still may be my favorite, actually, because I loved Michael Keaton, right, as Batman.
Yeah.
But Tim Burton had a way of taking that superhero genre. And especially the character of Batman, because Batman is a dark dude. He's not like, you know, it's not like Superman who, hey, he was a good guy, landed, you know, from another planet.
Right.
All of a sudden he can outrun, you know, a mule or whatever he can do. And then the next thing you know, he's jumping in the air. He was a good all-American guy. Batman, not.
Yeah, and the Tim Burton versions kind of stayed within the comic book. You know, there wasn't a whole bunch of Justice League stuff where all of a sudden the Wonder Woman was showing up in the Tim Burton movies.
Right.
And the Penguin, you know, his version of the Penguin was like this crossbreed between between a human and a penguin. Danny DeVito, remember, he had like black, kind of black stuff oozing out of his mouth, and he would eat raw fish. He was a penguin. He was an actual penguin. So, you know, there's a little bit of that that carries over into Dumbo, you know, Tim Burton's Dumbo. But I think, you know, kids can handle this stuff these days. If you're 7 or 8 years old, you might not get all the references. And of course, because it's a Tim Burton movie too, like, you know, he's done for years, whether it's Edward Scissorhands or a Big Fish, the spectacle, the visuals, you know, you could tell he's building, yeah, they're CGI, but he's building these huge set pieces, mm-hmm. set in kind of World's Fair-esque 1919 with huge attractions and things like that. And that looks great on the big screen.
Is Johnny Depp in it? Because I know he likes to lean on Johnny Depp for his movies.
Johnny's out of this one.
Okay.
But we probably will see him again someday. I think he was too busy putting on his eyeliner for those weird perfume ads that are all over Chicago bus stops.
Right. I just want to say something. I very much want to see the film, but we were having a bit of a problem with contracts in that shrew hole that I was married to Amber Heard, who I'm now suing for $15 trillion.
Oh, my God. I love those ads where the perfume or the cologne is something like Savage, but he's got more,
Sauvage.
He looks more like Liza Minnelli in Cabaret. He doesn't look that, you know, daunting,
right.
Really.
By the way, it's called Sauvage, and I'm getting 27 points on the dollar, so go blank yourselves.
Yeah, that's how they spell it in Kentucky, Sauvage.
There you go.
Right, remember, he is, right, he's from Danville, Kentucky. Just a point of reference.
It's important to remember
with
that.
With a British accent, because everybody from Danville has a British accent.
Right, that's how it goes.
Well, you know, I think Colin Farrell's a terrific actor, but it's interesting because he's playing actually a guy from Kentucky in this movie, and about once every 10 lines or so, he just slips right into the Irish, you know. Well, I'm going to be going to bed tonight now, won't you, Missy? You're like, what the hell just happened?
Well, he doesn't. Now, that's funny. That's got to be a total shot at Johnny Depp, though, is that they had to get a guy with an Irish accent to play a guy from Kentucky, and they had a guy from Kentucky
who
has an Irish accent for no good reason, who could have just lost his accent and done it, and he could have made a lot of money, and it would have been good.
My guess is Johnny Depp does not remember he's from Kentucky.
I'm going to guess.
And truly believes he is not.
That is completely true.
You know.
Thank you, Richard. All right, sure. So 3 stars for Dumbo. 3 stars.
Yeah, 3 stars.
All right.
Okay.
Take the kids. It did huge international money already. Mm-hmm. Huge. This thing is going to be everything Dizzy does.
Yeah,
good.
You got to see it.
All right. Richard, thank you very much. Appreciate it. We're going to have live music coming up with the Joe Hanson Band. But first, Kim, what's happening in the bottom of the hour?
I remember I'm from Kentucky. More tech jobs coming to Chicago.
Oh, good for you.
That's why I talk like this.
Tuesday night, as soon as the polls close, turn to WGN-TV. Complete election coverage, all the results, reaction, along with expert analysis. Watch your vote counts. That's starting Tuesday night at 7 o'clock on WGN-TV.
It's Live Music Friday. Joe Hanson Band is here, and we're going to let Joe play. We'll meet him on the other side of Kim's news, but wait till you hear this. Kids, take it away.
Think about the late drive home when you're looking in her eyes. You don't think about a week from now when you're caught up in tonight. Cause she's leaning in, you're leaning in, and that's all that's on your mind. Cause the moon is out and all you're thinking about is just her lips on your lips. Won't be soon enough, won't be long enough, just can't help it. Like this, what happens next? A moment, a breath, a smile that stops your world before you kiss a girl. You don't think about a year from now how you'll be looking for a ring. You ain't thinking about the brand new house you'll be building all the dreams. She's leaning in, you're leaning in, and that's all that's on your mind. Cause the moon is out and all you're thinking about is just her lips on your lips. Won't be soon enough, won't be long enough, just can't help feeling like this. What happened?
happens next moment. Smile and stops your whole world. Next moment, a breath, a smile stops your world. 'Cause the moon is out and all you're thinking about is just her lips on your lips. Won't be soon enough, won't be long enough. Just can't help feeling like this. What happens next moment, a breath, a smile stops your world. Kiss a girl. You don't think about the late drive home when you're looking in her eyes.
Joe Hanson Band, wow. Right there. More from them, but first. That's Joe Hanson Band right there.
Girl, you look so good tonight. No, wrapped up in these city lights. With that red dress, no shoes.
Let their hair look. You know what? As lovely as this is, let's hear them live because they are here. And I just want to, let's first of all, introduce Joe and the band and let them play along. I cannot believe how good these young men are because Joe is, I think, 12. How old are you?
Spectacular, however old he is.
Yeah. I'm actually 20 years old.
Oh.
Close. 20.
Close. 20.
I sound like I'm 12.
Listen, he's closer to 12 than I am. Let's just put it that way. A lot closer. So, amazing stuff. I mean, you're from Naperville originally, right?
I am. Yeah. Naperville, Illinois. I grew up.
And then you went right into music out of high school and out to L.A., The Voice and American Idol and stuff like that. And then you found your way to Nashville?
I did, yeah. Cool thing about it is, you know, it took a lot of closed doors, and I think being in music, that's kind of what it's all about. You know, you just hear no until you hear that yes, and so, you know, music kind of takes you all over. You know, you never know where it's going to take you. It took me to L.A., it took me to a bunch of different cities, and now I'm in Nashville, so you never know where it's going to take you, and you keep going until you find that yes.
Are you enjoying the journey, though?
Oh, so much. Yeah.
You love Nashville because there's just the what's going on there, and Ro talks about it all the time. It's just this amazing meeting of so many minds in the world that you're in, and you learn from each other. People are, you know, kind of just, you just walk around and just get great music everywhere you go. So much talent there.
Yeah, it's pretty much, it's super inspiring. You know, coming from Naperville, Illinois, you know, they have some great music stuff, but they only have so much. And so when you move down to Nashville, you kind of find that this whole town is just kind of based off of creativity, and everybody's trying to create stuff. And
yeah,
you know,
it's a great networking, amazing networking between writers and producers and engineers. Really critically important in this, especially this part of your career. All right, so you got an album coming out called Joe Hanson. You are Joe Hanson. You should have a song named Joe Hanson, and then you got the whole thing going there.
I am Joe. How about that? Can we write it for you? We can write it for you.
I don't think we could.
No,
I'm going to tell you right now. And you got Sam Jennings on drums, Austin Shawn on bass, Ben Parker on guitar, and Justin Myers with you, right?
That's right.
That's correct. All right, I want to make sure everybody's in. And the great Bill Malone, our own Bill Malone, who's engineering this, who is absolutely tremendous. So let's. You know what? I got to shut up, and I want to listen to the music. What do you want
to
play for
it.
Us?
This next song is going to be called Mine.
Mine. And you can see them. You can see Joe Hanson, the Joe Hanson Band, Naperville Ribfest and Summerfest this summer. Take it away.
Girl, you look so good tonight. And all wrapped up in these city lights.
With that red dress and those shoes, these stars got nothing on you. Girl, this might not come out right. Let me spell it out for you. You're M-I-N-E, mine. Could have been with any other guy. And they'd be lucky to have you, baby. In the way that I'm feeling lately, is it just wouldn't be right if you were anything but M-I-N-E, mine. Thinking about you all the T-I-M-E time. Wanna wrap my arms around you, build a world around you, make an L-I-F-E life. So glad you're M-I-N-E, mine, mine. So come on, lean on in right now. Let me show you what I'm talking about. See the way that our lips fit, it's perfect as it gets. And you're the sweetest thing I found. Let me spell it out for you. You're M-I-N-E, mine. Could have been with any other guy. And they'd be lucky to have you, baby. In the way that I'm feeling lately, is it just wouldn't be right if you were anything but M-I-N-E, mine. Thinking about you all the T-I-M-E time. Wanna wrap my arms around you, build a world around you, make an L-I-F-E life. So glad you're mine. You're M-I-N-E, mine. Girl, you're F-I-N-E, fine. And I'm so lucky to have you, baby. In the way that I feel lately, is it just wouldn't be right if you were anything but F-I-N-E, mine. Thinking about you all the T-I-M-E time. Wanna wrap my arms around you, build a world around you, make an L-I-F-E life. So glad you're F-I-N-E. M-I-N-E, mine, girl, you're M-I-N-E, mine, yeah, you're M-I-N-E, mine, mine.
Take it away. One more. Joe Hanson Band, what do you want to play for us?
This next one is an original I wrote, and it's called Before Young Got Old.
Na, 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 oh, oh. Curfews on the weekends. We were drunk on Sun Peak, Peach Boone's farm. Someone's brother bought it. Knew exactly how this world worked. We were smarter than our folks were. And them county lines were not the only lines that we were crossing. And them back streets we got lost in. We took this town up on two wheels. Somehow we survived those high libraries. We're long in days we're cold. Back before being young guy. Oh, na, 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 na. Oh, oh, oh. Na, 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 na. Oh, oh, oh. Broken hearts a dime a dozen. Dreams are big, but this town wasn't. Friday night life famous don't last long. Time turns in pages. We can scrape mud off our boots, but we can't shake dirt off our roots. And the same roads that can get us out can always take us back to when we took this town up on two wheels. Somehow we survived those high libraries. When nights were long, days were gone. Back before being young guy. Oh, na, na, na. When young guy, oh. When young guy, oh. We survived. No time life reels. Pizza, this town, the phone to wheels. Somehow we survived. No time life reels. The nights were long and days were cold. Back before being young.
Joe Hanson. Wow.
Wow.
See?
Oh, I need to go out and buy your music.
Right. He's six. What, six? Did I say six?
I think he's 12. No, 20. 20
years
20
old.
Years old.
Amazing young talent right here. He's going to be at Ribfest this summer and Summerfest up in Milwaukee as well. Stay right here. One more from him and the Joe Hanson Band coming your way. And look for the forthcoming album, Joe Hanson, where all fine music is sold on the internet. Let's check in now. Andrea's got the news at the top of the hour. What's coming up?
And row one, Illinois lawmakers pushing for tougher penalties for Scott's Law violators. That's coming up at 7.
All right. We've got him in the studio. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say thing about this young man, Joe Hanson. Joe is, this is one of those situations, I say this to a lot of young artists who are coming up, that we met you here and we may see you one more time. And then you will not return our phone calls. Until the other side on the way back down. That's how that goes. And that could be 40 years from now. Uh-huh. And I'm not going to be around for that. So I just want to say you are going to be a huge star, Joe Hanson.
You're amazing. Well,
thank you, guys. Appreciate that.
He's originally from Naperville. You can tell from the Naperville accent that he's got. Totally got
Chicago.
That. Yeah, there you go.
There it is. We recognize that.
Now, just remember to do that when in your first interviews. Because a country guy, you know, that sort of country pop, that amazing young country pop sound.
Phenomenal.
He goes, hey, how you doing?
Right, at the Country Music Awards when you accept it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, you guys.
Right. Hey, this is real nice. Johnny over here said I was going to go real good. All right, Joe.
That's what you should do.
Joe Hanson. The forthcoming album is Joe Hanson. You can see him this summer at Naperville Rib Fest. He's going home for that. And Summerfest in Milwaukee. What do you want to play for us to get us out?
This is going to be another original called Waiting on Love.
Take it away.
Is anybody looking for a good guy, looking for a good girl, waiting on love? Don't want to swipe you left, don't want to swipe you right. I want to push you in my phone for the rest of my life. I'm trying to take you home just to be alone. I'm trying to get to know you, so I'm taking my time. I love you like my daddy loves my mama every day. I'm trying to get it right, so let me say, is anybody looking for a good guy, looking for a good girl, waiting on love? I'm looking for a good girl, looking for a good guy, cause I've been waiting on love. Who could it be? For a good guy, looking for a good girl, I've been waiting on love. Ooh, waiting on love. Ooh. Don't wanna break your heart, don't wanna run you round. Wanna find myself forever, settle down in this town. Everybody just pretends, then they disappear. But that ain't how I roll, I'ma stay right here. Is anybody looking for a good guy, looking for a good girl, waiting on love? I'm looking for a good girl, looking for a good guy, cause I've been waiting on love. Who could it be? Who just might be me? Are you looking for a good guy, looking for a good girl, cause I've been waiting on love?
Come on, baby.
every day. I'm trying to get it right, so let me say, is anybody looking for a good guy, looking for a good girl, waiting on love? I'm looking for a good.